bow our heads and close our eyes. We look unto Him and pray. We have a couple of prayer requests here. Sister Betty D'Souza would like to request prayer for her father, who got in a car accident this morning and is suffering with headaches. Sister Jasmine Reyes request prayer for a swelling in her gum. She said the flesh is growing over her teeth. Let's just pray for them. And if you have a special request, just hold it in your heart and have faith as we approach Him. He knows what we have need of even before we ask, the Bible says. Almighty God, we stand in your divine presence, and this morning, honoring your resurrection, knowing, dear God, that as we stand and are gathered here in your divine presence, we stand according to a promise that you have made. Where two or three is gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Whatsoever you ask in prayer, I will do it unto you. Father, it is your word, it is your promise that you have made. Because, Lord, you want us to have faith when we come together like this. Because, Lord, we know we're not standing in our own righteousness, but we are standing under a covenant that you have made with us unconditionally, Father, based upon what you have already done for us. Not what we can do for ourselves this morning, but, Lord, what you have already done for us. Lord, we come looking unto that supreme sacrifice this morning that was made. We come looking, Lord, at that book that was opened for us. And that angel standing there, swaying by himself, when there's no how one to swear by. Lord, we ask this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, as a great ransomed church of God standing here, these who are needy, Father, these who come in the house of God, knowing that today is a Sunday, this natural day, Lord, only speaking of that greatest Sunday that they are standing in by faith, with a revelation in their hearts, knowing that every promise is available unto them now. Lord God, may you grant unto them the desire of their heart, according to the request that they have made known this morning. May they receive it, Father, according to your unfailing word of promise. Lord, we gather here to receive your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. We know that time is fast spent. The hour is late. So many things is happening. Sometimes you try to speak of it, Lord, and while we yet speak, Lord, so many other things is being fulfilled right in our very own midst. But may by your Holy Spirit you break into that place, Father, where the mind of Christ would drop into our hearts and our eyes would become open, Lord, and we'd see the unfailing realities of the living God. And Lord, we realize we're in the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah! And we who are called in this hour, and you who have made a promise unto us, you are right here to fulfill these things in our hearts. By faith we come looking unto you this morning. Lord God, you just take us deeper and you have your way amongst us. And may you bless each and every one that come expecting to receive according to your word of promise. May they receive, Lord, a full cup and running over. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us turn our Bibles. Let's turn to Revelation 8 again. Verse 13. And I, Revelation 8 verse 15, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sung." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes again. Father, we thank you for the word that you have given unto us in this hour. is a lamp unto our feet, is a light unto our pathway. The Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy, by which you do take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place. No, God, as the hour goes darker and darker, it becomes light to us in our dwellings. It becomes light to us if we could walk in. And Lord, as we walk, we see this perfect day breaking right before us. And we are walking from time into eternity. Oh God, what a great joy breaks in our hearts as we realize that we are eternal creatures. And we are coming to that perfect realization. As the old things pass away, all things become new. Lord, as we enter into this divine revelation and unknowing as we were known, to know, Father, that we have part in the first resurrection, to know that we are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb, to know that these things, Lord, it's been made so real in our hearts even now, that we are called and chosen and faithful. And Lord, we who you have taken up in this mystery, Lord, is escaping all these dreadful things that we see is coming upon the earth and coming so rapidly. We cry out in our hearts this morning, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let it be real to us, Father, and those who don't have that hope, those who these things are not real unto, those who are trusting in this world and this life that will soon pass away, Lord, may that light break forth upon their hearts with such a reality like it did unto Moses when he was there in Egypt, with all the glamour and all the prosperity and all the riches of this world and all the cares of this world. But when that struck his heart and he saw him who was invisible, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He took the way with the Lord's despised few. Lord, let it break forth so forcefully, Lord. Have such an effect upon the hearts of these. And Lord, they lay aside all these things, Father. And they will choose you, Father. For it is written in your word, choose this day whom you will serve. If God be God, serve God. Hallelujah. And that way stands before each and every one of us today, Father. Why halt you between two opinions? Lord, may we not halt today. But like Ruth, may we make a clean-cut decision. Where thou goest will I go. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die will I die. And where you're buried will I be buried. Hallelujah. Granted. That would be settled in every heart. Especially those, Father, that come in the house of God today seeking that eternal life. We ask it this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have a seat. We have a few notes of praise. I just want to read them. I also want to wish everyone a warm welcome in the house of God this morning. Jackie would like to thank the Lord for the revealing of his word unto him during the four nights of special service last week, and the messages have served to break certain influences upon his life. Amen. Also, Sister Celia would like to thank the Lord for the 4 days of services which have served to inspire faith to make us see the reality of a Christian experience. Amen. Brother Andrew Bosson would like to thank the Lord for his wife's safe delivery of her baby girl and Thursday last. Amen. Praise God. Well, this morning we just want to continue as we started out on Tuesday and have gone through until Friday. Just coming back to continue a little bit this morning again. I won't try to finish because it's impossible to finish. And sometimes I try to finish like I did this little message here Wednesday and Tuesday and Friday, but it just seemed that they had been scratched the surface. and more begin to just open up. So we just want to kind of stay in there a little bit. Not just see about the woes and all these things, but to understand just where these things are placed in the Bible. And then we can look and see that we are living right in the midst of these things that is happening and coming to pass. So then when we look around us, we know that it is the scriptures being fulfilled. It is evident that this world will pass away, that the elements will burn, the righteous will walk out on the ashes of the wicked, and all these things that are spoken in the Bible to happen in these last days is sure coming to pass. It's a more sure word of prophecy, and it's becoming more sure and more sure and more sure unto us every day. Amen. So I just want to continue this morning and taking this one verse here, and we're just going to walk our way from that. Revelation 8:13, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Amen. To know that it is evident, we read in the Bible like Malachi 4:5, and it says, "And the day of the Lord cometh, and it shall burn with fire." And we wonder, you know, what's going to burn with fire, and God going to burn the earth, and all these things that are spoken in the scriptures, how the Vatican City will be destroyed in 1 hour, and all the people out in the ships and far off will see the smoke of a burning. And we know that it just can't be a literal fire like when you have a city block burned down or something, because you get out that kind of fire. But when a whole city will be burning and be destroyed in 1 hour, that size, then you know it's a different, the atomic bomb dropping there. You just will have no hope of outing that kind of fire. Amen. The Bible said, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, said the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave neither root nor branch." And you think of that and you wonder, well, how will all these people be destroyed and burn up? It'd be a bomb. Amen. And I remember, you know, when we saw that day after, showing when the bomb will be dropped on America, which we know is coming to pass and will come to pass very soon. Is heading right up to it right now. And when we see that, you know, you saw how much people, just the radiation alone, it passed right through the people, and in a few days afterwards, people, it was a hopeless case. Medical science couldn't do anything for the people. It was just dying. The people's flesh was melting away like that, and it was such a disastrous sight. And they said afterwards that, you know, what they showed here, you know, is like an amateur form. It's hardly the idea of what it would be like. Amen. Amen. And thinking that, you know, that was so horrible that it threw the people into such panic when they saw it. And it was just a little amateur thing, because in no way you could describe it. Like when they had this celebration memorial here of World War II on D-Day, when all the veteran soldiers came together, and they came together there, and they was interviewing some of the actual people who was in the war. They say, well, they tried to make films about it. They say, but to make a film about it, you can't make a film about a war. They say, you know, you might get a few people and try to dramatize one or two scenes, and he said, to really make it real, the people who see in the audience, you ought to be shooting live bullets at them and throwing hand grenades in the midst of them, and then people dying only because of blood splatting, that they could get a little idea of what it is like. Because for them to really sit down there and, you know, in that time, it's such a pandemonium, it's such a chaos that you just can't seem to, you know, kind of have one man run out there with a gun, maybe shooting, maybe hide behind a tree, maybe shoot at 2 more. It's not that type of way. And when you see those things, you gotta realize, well, look at the kind of things that, you know, we are being faced with in this generation. And they see when they fought the first war, a little poison gas, little different things. They went out there with little bayonets and the, you know, the small little rifles. And when they fought
time we're going to fight the second war, that a bomb that could destroy a city. And that was so devastating. And then when they come into the third one, then you don't have to fly over a place with a set of planes and drop a set of bombs and this type of thing. You can just stay right where you are and just press a button and destroy the other place. So it have come like that. And then way back in David's time, he used a slingshot with a rock and a stone. So things have developed in a really rapid way right down to this time. So the age that we're living in, the promise that we're living in, an atomic age, a nuclear age, and the age where man, this natural scientist, have split the atom. And when they split the atom, the kind of power that was released there, and through that then some destruction could take place. And then it's only a type of what have happened in the spiritual realm, because back in Luther and their time, you know, maybe to see one little miracle or to see one little healing or something was a great relief, because that the Holy Spirit hadn't forsaken the church, and a little blade coming up didn't have nothing like in the book of Acts, you know, where Peter and they walked forth and maybe tell a man by the gate before he rise up and walk. And that was such a great notable thing in the book of Acts. And you know, in the days of Luther, and then when the Holy Spirit brought that revelation, he just shall live by faith, and they begin to rise up there, Luther couldn't dream that a man was going to stand up one day and by one prayer, you know, you'd have 7 truckloads of wheelchairs and people miles before they reach the city being healed and walking out of hospitals and ain't getting the meeting yet. They couldn't imagine that kind of thing. And you know, when you look at that, because you know, in the meetings in South Africa 1950-51, in the second pole, which was just amateur alongside what was coming the third pole. The kind of power, we don't want power. You see, back there was like a multitude of healings, because God is doing it in a large, wide scale to attract people's attention. But power began to really come into the third pole that could even create. And when that was coming, that was not coming in a great, big, wide scale to attract the whole world. That was just coming to show restoration, that a man is back in the position he was in before the beginning. Amen. So when we look and we see that type of thing, that people didn't even reach in the meetings yet. People, you know, was traveling, coming to the meetings. The whole city was choked. Durban, South Africa was choked completely. Everything came to a standstill. You couldn't come in the city, you couldn't go out, you couldn't drive on a block, you couldn't park in a car park. The road just was choked all with traffic jam. Right through, nothing can come in, nothing can go out, everything was a standstill. And then people were on the outskirts, couldn't come in the meeting. You know, them big cities, you're traveling from interstate and these things, and you're coming into the city, and then you're outside the city, maybe miles on the outside, trying to maybe take a road or something, and then come into the suburbs of the city. And people way out there was being healed. People were just emptying out hospitals, bringing people to the meeting. And they didn't reach a meeting, they said the whole city was electrified. Now that is not a story or imagination. That you just take up this province of Africa and you see all the newspaper clippings, photographs showing what happened. And then they have the video film right there with eyewitnesses reports of what happened right there in the meetings. And that was way back in the second poll. So to think that that kind of power would be manifested, Luther and they couldn't even imagine those things. Just like the people back there, when they started off, you know, with maybe a sword fighting there, them wars back there in the days of the Crusaders, and maybe a long spear, and they have their shields and different things. They couldn't imagine that the hour is going to come, people are going to just press a button and destroy a city, and millions could die at one time, thousands of miles away. You see, and the same with the church, in the realm of the church, because the natural scientists begin to work in the natural realm of science, and they begin to break into things and discover things. And then so Einstein, this great scientist at this age, he opened the door to nuclear power. Amen. He opened the door to atomic age, that men before him who work in the realm of science and never even fathom. He was like the eagle scientist. You see, like that scientist in the modern age, like reformer scientist in the natural realm. And they discover little things, and then the telescope invent little different things, study the planets a little bit and see little things out there. But in this age, they move from horse and buggy to the astronaut. Within 75 years, when a man driving a little horse and buggy for transportation, they're putting a man on the moon within 75 years. You see? And within that time, there when people didn't believe in divine healing, and they believe in all these things, God wrote a book of Acts by one man's life that incomparable in history and all what they're doing, the whole Reformation put together. That they say haven't, like Gordon Lindsay put it in the book there. He said, haven't there be eyewitnesses and authentic proof? And many people, I went down a corner, you'd think it was something far-fetched and out of the world and something make up and fabricated. But because the multitude are witnesses who was there, they had to testify that these things really took place. You see? Because from the time it moved into that age, in the natural realm, in the spiritual realm, God already was taking the church into that place also. But you see, today you find people, just like you have in the natural realm, a lot of people, they are so backward. You may go in the natural sense of it, you may go in certain parts of the world, and you may find a man, maybe he's still plowing with some oxen. You see? And a man may be using some tool and working by hand to plow up some place. And another place, you may see a man who have the real modern equipment, and that will plow up everything in no time and do all the work. And like they have in some of these big fields where they plant all the wheat and so on, and they have the whole thing to disc up the field, plant all the seed, and then even harvest it and separate everything all in one. And you can watch those two things and see how far apart it is. And the same way today, you'll find people in the natural realm that God opened the door into where the church could come and live in the realm of the spoken word and the third pole and all these different things that the church had way back in the Garden of Eden. And God opened the door back to these things, and yet you'll find people, they don't desire to go into there. They desire to stay back and go into the old normal fundamental church, and you know, they go to a service and be a little religious and go along and have some little form of religion, and you know, maybe go on Sundays and observe a few holy days, and they settle for that type of thing. And the same way you find people in the natural, they just settle for that type of thing also. But then here it was, God, regardless of what the people are, the multitude of the people had stayed back in the former fundamental religion, God was bringing the church into a place where those who want to go in there could go into there. And you may find people in the world, they may not even want to travel on a plane yet. But you say, not me, I ain't got me no sky. You see that? It's too unsafe, and they don't want to move on, you see? And then some people say, some people may, you know, like you have some people like that, you know. But you know, man is so advancing. They come into the place now, they say, just now, it will be very feasible, because in the itinerary, that's what they have. For man to, you see, you go in an airline and buy a ticket to go maybe some other country, that you can actually buy a ticket to go into another planet. And this is the kind of vision they have. So if you want to take a vacation, you ain't have to go to Hawaii and this kind of place no more. You actually think, well, maybe I go to Venus or another place, because they already have the plans underway to build that station up in the sky. That space station. You see, because they don't hit a certain place in the solar marks and the church is yet to reach there, you know. You see, because they did it in the natural realm first and then the church moved there. But here the Holy Spirit is working unceasingly and pushing upon people who are willing to take the Holy Spirit and His Word and step out to get the air. Amen. This last time, here they're going to go off, and just 4 minutes before touchdown, they already had the countdown going there and stopped the countdown like that. Had some 40 business there, right in the mechanism, the whole thing had to trigger off. Thing almost killed the people, you see. So you see, even when you come to that hour in the countdown itself, and but the countdown was going on, you see, the countdown was going on, you know, and this is the first time in history that they start a countdown and have to stop. And kind of push back the thing because a faulty mechanism, you see, that has stopped the thing and just abort the whole plan and kind of reschedule everything. And you know, when you watch all these things, there's so much things that's happening. I was just reading right in the newspaper yesterday, had a great hailstorm out in Germany there, and hailstones the size of a tennis ball. Let me know, tennis balls falling. And it cost millions of dollars in loss. Over 300 people were damaged, and it said it would hit them in the head. You know the Bible says that the hail going to come out of the sky, and it wouldn't be the size of a tennis ball, it would be 100 pounds. God will stone the woman who committed adultery. Because in the Old Testament, you stone them with stone, they commit adultery and kill them. Yeah. And you're going to stone all these churches, all these Protestants and Catholics, you stone them and kill them. You read the papers right here yesterday. While we're preaching all these things going on here, right there, they say a storm mutual was so strange because it's going in the midst of a heat wave. Can you imagine that? What's happening? You see, and all these things that coming out, and the problems of the televisions and all these things, don't produce all the things already. And you see some of the things they produce that they blow the people's minds with. That from the time he that let us will let us come out of the way, this whole world will be insane, you know. And they promise a time like that in the Bible. The one holding back right now is the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remember years ago I had a dream and I kind of message. And like the anointing had just struck, and you see people who as Christians in the mess all the years, they can get sinful and carry on and vulgar. And there's in the message all the time going around like that. But when we got that moment struck and the power of God moved, you watch all of those things come right up like that. Amen. But you see the Holy Spirit is here among the people. And many times you don't realize you do things and you think it's you do it. You think you're some great person. No, you did that. And then God just moved back his spirit and realize, oh no, you're doing it by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't you can live so, wasn't you can do that, wasn't you can do that. You're doing it by the Holy Spirit. And God will show you. Keep your heart humble. Keep sincere. Take your before God day and night. And know how weak you are. And you carry nothing in your own self. It's the grace of God that lets you be a certain way. From the time God pull back, you watch, you is just dust and ashes. You are just 16 elements, and the devil will tear to pieces. Amen. That's the truth. And when you realize that, you realize it's so simple. The Holy Spirit. Give a little grace, a little unction. And you do something. When you do something, you get a little praise, or you feel that you're right there and something, and then you don't be sincere. That is the grace of God, the Holy Spirit. And that is a very difficult thing, like that, when you see, you know, that type of thing. And it so much things happen. I was telling you right there how they take that the torch. Oh dear, hand his Statue of Liberty and watching that there, and then also right there, the first time in history again, it says, in this election camp here, that woman running for vice president. In America, you know, she's number 13. But I'm saying that's a woman nation, a woman number, everything a woman. Woman is the God, everything else. And in that vision, he saw a great, beautiful man, cool in her heart. He said, no, it could be the Catholic Church. He said, I believe the Catholic Church, but he said, it could be a woman too. Some good woman going to rise up there and rule the nation. And then they say in America, no, America, the America, you know, the people is too tough, and man was their head, and they were establishing the God, and they went along like that, and all these other nations like England and India and one time Israel and different places, they have women as rulers. This is what some months ago it wasn't even feasible to think that. This is right, it happened already. It already happened. That one is nominated and the elections come up here, and all those things could actually just move in like that. And then you're going to realize how close we are to the end. And this is why all these things, just to show you that sometimes you go along in your mind and you kind of judge things by yourself. Through your eyes of understanding, how you think. And sometimes you don't realize you're doing that, you know. But that is kind of a point where you don't realize you're doing that. And you just feel like, well, God has to wait on you. And you're going along, and like when you feel the pray, and you feel the prayer, and you're going nice, and you're praying, and you're really getting charged up, you say, you're all late. And when you're praying, you find out like, well, it's plenty grace still. You know, you're so late, and you have a lot of time. And you kind of leave it hanging upon how you feel at the time. But then when you begin to look into the Word, and the Word begin to reveal, and you see the things that are to happen before Christ comes, and you see all those things are already happening. And think that you didn't believe what's happening is happening. And then you realize it's not your thinking you have to look by now, but the mind of Christ coming as the Word is being revealed, then your thinking becomes the revealed Word. Then that becomes the influence. Then you now bring your life in line with that Word. You then get your arms trimmed. You then see about getting yourself in order when that time comes. So all these things have been going through here this last week, just been taken out and shown you. And one of the major things, the real major thing that I am on in preaching this, is to let you see that when these things is happening, that message is coming forth. That is the thing that I'm emphasizing. Out of that, we are seeing now, and what we're seeing as we look into the scripture, everything's about finish. And sometimes you wonder if the door is closed already too. No, that's why I think. No, I don't know if it's closed. But I feel that way sometimes, because what else is to happen then? We are waiting for the dynamics. And when the dynamics comes, in the days of Noah, it was closed 7 days before. Amen. Now, this is where it's acting. Now, there are a lot of people that are preaching already out on the outside that the door is closed, you know. A lot of people preach that the door is finished, closed already. Now, I don't know. It hasn't been revealed to me that way as yet. You see? And I tend to believe that it's closed, but I can't say for sure it's closed. Because I am looking then for God to bring something definite. But I see a sign that let me know, like, it's about the air. Now, if somebody just come and say the door closed and don't have no scripture or have no experience from God or have nothing to identify or nothing continue the Word, then that is just like a reasoning. That is like an assumption, because all these things have to be based on the Word. Amen. Because if it's so, then you can't preach salvation. Amen. All right. Then if we're going along here and we actually are seeing that people is being saved, then we have to have a proper discernment. Are they being saved or are we thinking they're being saved? Amen. Because people go along believing that they're being saved. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And when you think of these things, you realize the type of hour it is, how much we have to stay under prayer and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that we would not go into presuming our thinking, but we would speak as the oracles of God and stay under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because through the church, God is going to bring judgment to this world. The bride of Jesus Christ would have to have a ministry of testimony to give witness to people that they preach to, but did not give heed to the message as a witness to them. Amen. And that would be a witness to them to let them know the door is closed and mercy is over. But Moses and Elijah is the one who would open the judgment seal. Because in 6 years is the judgment seal. And Moses and Elijah is going to smite the earth with plagues. They're going to bring the tribulation upon the earth. Amen. But the things then that is being produced to identify those things, we actually see on one side, we can see we're so close to eternity and to the resurrection of these things. And the other side is so close to the tribulation, the judgment. Because while the bride will go up here, the church will go through. So both will be breaking at one time, right here before you in a season. The resurrection and the tribulation. Because while one second to take the bride up, one begins to be manifest for the church to go through. And the two people, the one that's going up and going through, is together right now. Amen. You see, now, in the time of Luther, to preach that would be to preach something afar off. In the time of Wesley, to preach that would be to preach something afar off. Because there would be so much other more positive things to preach for the church to be posted to and that the eye is supposed to be set on that they should be looking for. Because when you use way back then, Luther time, to preach about tribulation, and making those things strong, and the resurrection, and you ain't see Elijah yet. You ain't see Israel back in the homeland yet. It don't make no sense. Amen. Amen. But from the time that generation set in, and the seven seals were opened, and all these things in the scriptures that theologians had for the tribulation period, and had the church going all through their 7 years, a prophet began to reveal and say, no, don't get in that gap. He said, the church don't go to this, don't put the church here. The church goes up on this side. And many of those things you're looking for is happening over here. And when they begin to divide the scripture, then we got to realize then that where we are, the only promise between us and that time is the dynamics, and that dynamics tracking the church going to finish. We're going to bring the things into manifestation that will thoroughly vindicate the church. Amen. Because the church is waiting for our faith to be confirmed. Amen. And God will confirm our faith with the dynamics. Amen. She have done everything she could have done, every order that God required for her to follow. Amen. Everything that she must do, she have been doing those things, making herself ready. Amen. The bride had made herself ready. Amen. A message was brought unto her to make herself ready. Amen. The message was for preparation. Amen. Amen. And she had to make ready, not seeing anything. Amen. But being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Move with fear and prepare and make ready. Like when Moses came to Israel, they had to make ready before. They had to make ready before the angel came. And there's a Noah. He had to build the ark before he see any rain. Now it might be encouragement to see a few clouds to let you know you're traveling the right road. Because when the devil is going to bring oppression and scoffers and mockers are going to come and the scientists are going to bring out explanations and you don't have a little thing, all of a revelation, then that revelation better be strong enough influence in your life to break through it and keep doing what you're doing. And this is where many people fall today, because like they want to see something like kind of hold on to. But you're looking to the unseen and you're recognizing the prophetic word coming to pass. You can read the handwriting on the wall. See, then it was an experience of Noah building that ark. How he was getting that go forward, how he was finding the pitch, how he was doing everything. In its season, it was going forth. So he knew the God who commanded him to do that was in him leading him to get it done. And when God tells us to do something, he himself is going to come in us and do what he tells us to do. So the God in you obeying the very word God said. God fulfilling his own word. See? So here it was, being warned of God, if you have not seen us yet, they move with fear. And the same thing had been given unto us. And when the message came there, then we begin to actually see that we had to do everything that we could do, follow every order. And then now when the dynamics comes, then that going to bring in the fullness of the signs and the wonders that is promised to be here for a ministry of testimony to show that the door is closed. To give faith to the foolish virgins to go through the tribulation. And to give faith to the bride to the going away in the rapture. And the bride will come to a greater faith to go away in the rapture because she has the Holy Ghost. But the foolish virgins have no Holy Spirit. But they will get enough grace to go through the tribulation and give the life. And then that going to also bring on the resurrection itself. Amen. The Holy Spirit coming into the church, it was going to bring on the resurrection. Amen. Because from the time you see the dynamics is moving here among the church, Jesus is already among the people in the sixth dimension, you know. Amen. You know that was revealed in the fifth seal? Amen. That he comes to them first. Amen. He was high up. Because it's not people come out of the ground, you know, in the resurrection, you know. It's just bodies that they put back in the earth, the 16 elements, is the bodies going to come up, but the people themselves in another dimension. They come back, you just go in your clothes and pick up your clothes and put it on the come sleep this morning. Alright. So the same way you sleep in your bed, in the bedroom, and you go in your clothes closet, and you take out your clothes and you put it on, and then you come service. Well, the same way their robe of flesh, that when they die on this side and they put that body in the ground, they cross over into another body. If it's earthly tabernacle, be dissolved, there's another one waiting. So they cross over into that other body. And they live in there where they don't eat or drink or nothing in that body. But then they're going to come now, they're waiting there, they haven't seen Jesus yet, you know. But they know he's high up. You see, because they without us shall not be made perfect. And they are waiting in the air. And then he's going to come down to them. And all seven messengers are to step forward and give a account for what they preach. And then all the ministers and all the congregations in the ages are those seven messengers. All of them will be judged for what they preach. Amen. And then the last shall be first. And the last one that was back there, the prophet, this last age, that back there, they're going to come back first. And then Wesley going to come back with his age, then Luther going to come back with his age, then Columbus going to come back with his age, until all come right back and begin to appear to the people on the earth. The saints on it, like it was in St. Matthew 27. And they went to Jerusalem, the Bible said, the sleeping saints rose, people who they thought us dead thousands of years ago, since in the time of Abraham and all them, and just walking all through the city, appearing unto many people. And the believer knows that when that time comes, when you see those people, you would see them. He said, and just when we see them, we'll be changed. But when we see them, we'll know till the preaching of the Lord is finished. But we together with them, we'll be called to meet the Lord in the earth. It'll be a gathering time. Amen. We and them. Amen. Together. Amen. That time, I don't know, no preaching to the lost, you know. Because the preaching to the lost among the bride, what is going to be happening there? It will be the fullness of the power of God among the church. Amen. That it will bring them into such a realm and such a faith. That's going to bring on the resurrection itself. Amen. And when that comes on, then here the church now, we are going to be standing there with the expectation to see them anytime. Because after Jesus was publicly crucified, then on the cross, That was a cry with a loud voice, and the dead that were there, the Old Testament said, slept, awoke. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then the Bible in 1 Peter 3:18 says, and he went and preached to the soul that were in prison.
Yeah.
Who were disobedient, he did and no one them back there.
Yeah.
And then when he arose, they all came out with him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And when he ascended on the 40th day into a cloud, it was that cloud of believers. Because in Psalm 27 says that when he went to the elect captivity captive,
yeah.
Ephesians 4 and Psalm 27. And he said, open the everlasting gate, and then he came glory and thing.
Yeah.
And then he said, who is the king of glory? And all his saints yeah. shouted back, the Lord mighty in battle.
Yeah.
And he led them right in.
Yeah.
So it was in the Bible what was happening all along.
Yeah.
And that very same order, just like when he became the Word made flesh at the end of the Old Testament, he was the Word, a greater than Solomon is here, a greater than Jonah is here. And he was the Word. The first fruits of them that slept.
Amen.
He was the sheaf that was waved. He was the first one that come back to maturity.
Amen.
To what Adam was.
Amen.
So when he comes to that stage, they could bring on a resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. And here they died for seven ages the same way.
Amen.
Just like how they died from Adam, right down to the saints in the Old Testament there. And it was all waiting for that promise one to come, the woman's seed.
Amen.
Then when the Ephesian church, which came out of the second Adam, she's the mother of all spiritual living.
Amen.
All right? Because Jesus was the second Adam, when he died on the cross, got from the street like the first Adam, out of the second water, blood, and the spirit.
Amen.
And the church was born there at Pentecost, now the Ephesian church.
Amen.
Then she too fell before the marriage. And when she fell, she was seduced the same way the Nicolaitans, the righteous rider, come and seduce the church. And she fell. But there was a promise, I will restore. The woman was going to get a promised seed. And that's why we have had reformers in the denominations until the seed comes. Because in Luke 17:30, this church, the spiritual woman now, was going to get a spiritual promise. And that promise, because when the church died, it threw the whole church into spiritual debt. Just like natural Eve, by natural adultery, throw the whole physical world into physical debt. So spiritual Eve, committing spiritual adultery to the world, being seduced by the Nicolaitan spirit, the white horse rider, then she commits spiritual adultery to the world. She receives another seed and it throws the whole church into spiritual debt. You see? But then, it was promised in the last days, the church is going to receive a seed. And St. Luke 17:30, the Son of Man being revealed in the inner time, the Word being made flesh, coming to the church. It came to bruise the serpent's head. See, the man has sinned back here again. And the whole denominational system that actually deceived the church. And now the message was against organization. God broke the power of it. You see, and that was to bring a restoration, to bring back all that was lost, to bring it back to its original condition and bring up a resurrection. So just like Jesus there in the natural, at the end of the Old Testament, he came and he brought up that resurrection, all them who was written in him. So now, all those who died for seven church ages in Christ, the dead in Christ, they are waiting until that comes forth in the last days to bring them up also and turn all them back to life. Now the Bible says, Hebrews 11:2-14 here, it says, and they without us shall not be made perfect.
Amen.
And when the bride comes to perfection, then he's going to bring the resurrection.
Amen.
And here it is, the Holy Spirit now. We see in them that from the time we begin to go into that place, because you receive your first change already.
Amen.
You see, there's two resurrections, there's two changes. The first change was the soul being changed.
Yes.
Because only those who change in the soul would be changing the bodies.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye.
Yes.
Now the outward change, the physical change, is in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trump.
Amen.
See, God put a time there when that last change is going to take place. And he said, you'll change faster than the angels came. But before that change come on, there has to be an inward change. The only those who change in the soul can be changed in the body. And then when that first change comes, then they change from glory into glory into glory, and that a process. And the bride has been going through that process, been changed from glory into glory into glory into glory, until she begins to hold the glory of the Lord in the mirror. Now that would be a revelation. How would she know she'd be holding the glory of the Lord in the mirror? How would she know she's seen face to face? How would she know she comes to a Peniel? Because Peniel in the old, that's where it comes from, you know. Face to face in the New, they call it face to face in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, in the type, in Genesis there, Jacob called it Peniel when the angel came down at the breaking of the day. He was crossing over now, getting ready to cross over back into the original promise. In the original promised land. He was crossing back over. And when the breaking of the day, the angel came down and he wrestled and he received part of the angel name. Israel. Amen. And he walks in and he crossed over. Now what's something? And right at the breaking of the day is where that day cannot break until we come back into perfection. Amen. When the church comes to that place where she's coming to perfection, then that day begins to break. Because remember that day is breaking. That is that perfect day, that seventh day. Amen. That seventh morning that we have never lived in yet. Amen. We come down through 6,000 years. Like 6 days God made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he rested. And that was a type of the millennium. And here after 6,000 years we are going back to the seventh morning. And when the morning star comes out in the breaking of the day, then all the darkness will be pushed to one side and a message going to come forth to reveal that the day is breaking. To show that the church age is failing out, where you're a son of God, and to show where he's going to be son of David, is coming in. And one like the son of man will appear. Because when he's son of man, he's not son of God. Son of God is finished. Then he means to say he's going to be son of David, because son of man is a change of time. A revelation coming forth to show you the church age is finished. And our people will be understanding the mystery of the coming of the Lord, of a message, awakening of awake now that sleepeth. Christ shall give the light. Amen. Amen. And you walk in that light, that more show of prophecy, as a light that shines in darkness until the day dawn. Amen. And the day star arise in your heart. Amen. Then you begin to hold the glory of the Lord as a mirror, and then you begin to see face to face. Then in that day, you will know as I was in the Father me, so I am you and you in me. Because at that time the church will be near in the headstone now. And then she'll be in his very own image. And when that word image is formed inside of you, then this body would materialize around it. Now the prophet didn't come to that place where his body was changed. But to show the word image was forming him. And in the hour when the person of Christ would be in the people, God manifested certain things. The first thing was we begin to see the word open up right there. The whole mystery of God was set up in the Bible began to open up right here. And then we saw God vindicate that with his spoken word. Amen. To prove that here was one that come back. And then to prove it, he came and he preached the rising of the sun. And say the first one to prove is a wheat. Yes. He's the first fruits of them that slept. Yes. The first fruits in this day. Amen. The surely harvest time is here. Then the first time in all the history of the church, somebody began to preach harvest time. Yes. Nobody preach harvest time, you know. They thought, well, there's going to be a harvest time, there's going to be a harvest time, there's going to be a harvest time. Yes. But once there's a harvest time, the sun is in full strength, is acceleration up, the rain is done, poured out, it's ripening time. Yes. When that happened, right there we know then that the rest they will not see death, but they'll be changed to bring the resurrection. See? They'll be changed to go up in the marriage supper. So here it is, because that in him we saw the sign before the change too. Is that correct?
Amen.
When the Son of Man is revealed to the Word, was revealed in flesh.
Amen.
We saw the sign of the change. To prove again that if this before the change could come, between the messenger going and that was the sign before the change, then in the church there must have that first change, that old image form, to bring on that second change.
Amen.
And that's why the resurrection, the rapture, will take place like that, and people wouldn't even know it. Because the outward change, when people think nothing is going on, people are being changed on the inside.
Amen.
People, their flesh is becoming the Word on the inside of people.
Amen.
Amen. And unless you have the eyes to see, amen, why is that person different? Why is that person different? Why I would like to live like that person? Why I like to live like that person? It's Christ in the air.
Amen.
Amen. It's Jehovah inside of the air. You see? And you know, many times we say generally, and we say yes, it's Christ, it's Christ, Christ. But you gotta realize, what does have that brother living that way? What does have that sister humble so all the time? All in a prayer. You don't find no confusion. You don't find a brother no confusion. What has them so? It's Christ inside of them. It's the Holy Spirit pulling this flesh in subjection to the Word. Because it is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, burning you. It will quicken your mortal body and bring it in obedience to the Word. Why do I find a person no foolish talking? Why do I find all a person all sweet and nice? All the word of admonition, a word of edification, a word of exhortation, all the provoking to love and good works. Why do I find a person so? Why is there gossiping and running in foolishness? It's Christ inside of them! That will have them different. Amen. The Word becoming spirit and life inside of you. Well, watch a person there and you see them talking and left, and then the inspiration can strike them.
Yeah.
I want to see them become anointed. I want to see them speak authority.
Yeah.
It's God inside of them.
Yeah.
That God have been hiding in people for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Growing up inside of people. Then they open their senses, loose the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself dropped down on the earth to hunt out his seed.
Yeah.
To take up his abode inside of them and begin to teach them and teach them and teach them all things and lead them into all truth.
Yeah.
If the Holy Ghost in them, lead them into all truth.
Yeah.
From revelation to revelation, the righteousness of God is being revealed inside of them. From faith unto faith. Changing from glory unto glory until they come and to reveal the person of Christ.
Amen.
Until they can unveil him in bright form.
Amen.
Amen.
Then I have to know this word for myself.
Amen.
Amen. I'll get a personal contact with God. See? Then we can get up now. Then they're not influenced by another, they're influenced by those who are influenced by Christ.
Amen.
Amen. See, not this influence, that influence. Be influenced by those who are influenced by God.
Amen.
See. So then people begin to have respect for the Word. And then quickly the Holy Spirit shows it's something that is going on. It's a program of God. And faith was designed to know the will of God.
Amen.
See? How a lot of people come up to the organizations and come into the message, and they thought they had the Holy Spirit in the organization, and they thought some who didn't have thought they had the American message, they thought they had it over here too, and then they found they never even had it at all.
Amen.
All the way through. And then some come to the world, and like when they come to the world, they didn't get the Holy Ghost, they come up to the organization. Then many of them was coming to the world. We get a genuine experience, a genuine birth, and was coming in to receive the true word.
Yeah.
Amen. And then you see people with a lot of original experience, they could tell a lot of spiritual things they encountered and acquainted with down through the years they walk.
Yeah.
See? But then you see, still the message is a personal thing between you and God.
Yeah.
Because the prophet said, in my preaching, I'm not trying to proselyte people.
Yeah.
He said, I tried to establish a spiritual relationship between man and God.
Amen.
whereby man become new creation in Christ, and the old things are passed away. Then it means to say, if that was his preaching and his objective was to do, then if you receive it in the right channel, it will establish for you as an individual a personal relationship with Christ. It's not designed to pull you and bring you in a church. And when it's bringing that church, then it tries to get an experience with God. No! When God deals with you, you have come to that church because you know that your obedience in the world and a fellowship somewhere. You have supported your presence and tithe in your office and be a loyal member. Because the words in don't forsake the assembly yourselves. So God is dealing with you and you're walking now in all God's word. And you're seeking out a church prayerfully because church has spirit. Amen. You find a place where God is, and then you get the air and be a loyal member to the post of duty. Because you have an experience with God. Because you have a walk. See? And this is what have been happening. This is what have been going along. This is what have been taking place. You see? So then when it come down here to the years now, all the things that happened was happening unseen. You see? When we speak about the things of the bride, we talk about something going on unseen. Because the third pole, it went to the soul. But these other things we take in here this last week, it's just taking the thing that is visible that you didn't understand what it was and where it fitted in the scripture. But if those things are true and they are in that position and at that stage, then it will only be a confirmation to what you claim the bride is and where she is and what stage she are to. If all along we are saying the bride was not in a certain stage of maturity, she wasn't there, and then God will reveal these things and we preach it, then we realize that we're still in ABC playing around and could hardly be responsible on these things. Then we realize, oh, wait now, we were not the people God was talking about. Because how could God program it so far advanced and the church at that tender stage here? Amen. That hot sun would burn up this blade. If the sun is in its full strength, then the bride has to be forming the grain. Amen. Because God regulates these things together. Amen. So all along, God been saying, all right, the church is here, the church is here, the church is here, something's going on, these things are being fulfilled, these things, and that's in the spiritual realm. Great happenings in the spiritual realm. Yeah. And it's revealing something saying that when the bride comes to this stage, these things will be taking place among the bride. Amen. And we focus inside of there on the masterpiece and all these different things inside of there. Yes. See, that little space of time between the opening of the word and the preaching to the lost. Amen. Where a bride is being called, sealed, forming the word image, and waiting for a promise of dynamics. Amen. Because that is what he said. That is the exact order. Call, seal, form in the word image, and then dynamics. Amen. Amen. Pay attention to this. It's a united time. God and his bride. What shall I do? Jesus called Christ. And I say, with reverence and respect, I believe that the bride of Christ is called. I believe she's sealed in the kingdom. I believe mechanics is there. They are waiting for the dynamics. That will take off the earth into glory in the rapture. I believe with all my heart. He's dynamic. We just come members of the machine of his body, forming ourselves into his image. We call, we seal, being formed in his image, and waiting for the dynamics. Amen. And see him uniting himself with us in his works and with his love gifts as he hands them to us just before the wedding supper. And the wedding supper is at the last trump. The last trump is the call to the wedding supper. Then just before that time, he will hand us his love gifts. The dynamics will come and hand us all these things. You can imagine when Jesus actually spoke to them after the resurrection and tell them, not many days from now, you shall receive power from on high. And reveal to them, they open their understanding. And then they understand the whole mystery of who he was, why he came, what happened all down through the years of the ministry, where the scripture was being fulfilled, where everything, where they was at now. And what was going to happen was the next thing to be activated. And they understood those things right there. And the new understanding is open. Then power and then acts. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He can be built upon them receiving the Holy Spirit, open understanding. Amen. Amen. Then power came. Then they wrote a book of Acts. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. And while it was up there, everyone knew what they were there for. Everyone knew what was going to happen next. Amen. They knew what he said. They understood what he meant. They had come to a place. He was no longer speaking them in a proverb. They was understanding what he was saying. Amen. And when that begins to break upon your heart, what do you think it's going to do to you? From the time that revelation really catches a hold of your heart, you and I to say, I'm trying to behave myself, I'm trying to line up. Automatically, it will be pushing you into it constantly. That will be your life. That will be your atmosphere. That will be real to you. You will never hear it preach again. Your mind will be keep stirring up. Nobody keep reminding you. That will be your testimony, personally. When you speak for somebody of 5 minutes, they will know what you want, what you're looking for, where you're going, what you need. They will know that right away. See, right away. Because as that day draws nigh, everything else is becoming dead, you know. The prophets will be in such an atmosphere that all those... You'll be so obsessed with that. Yeah. You'll be walking it, talking it, sleeping it, eating it, drinking it, acting it. Yeah. That will be to you. Yeah. Could you imagine the time you see the Holy Spirit moving there and the persecution begin to rise? You know right away what's happening? And what a joy in your heart that will be. Amen. To know that you are ready. Amen. Because when you see that happening, you say, oh my, you know you're in it. It's growing in you. Amen. See, you know it's taking place. Amen. And then the word that we have taken these last few nights and show every scripture almost. There, I can't think of one. If I leave out one, that is not in the process of fulfillment and you're already moving on there, well then let me know. But as far as I see, everything is already moving and picking up momentum with great rapidity. See, when I watch those things, they all bring a consolation in my heart, because I see that we're not back there wondering what's going on. We're here moving in step with the Holy Spirit quickly. Amen. When you held the body night in the full power, it would raise up just exactly in the dead that's dead in Christ for 100 years. It will rise in the beauty of his holiness and take a flight plumb to Jesus Christ. The dynamics is the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. He says, and when it's going to be too late then for you, because he said the big machine will work something, uniting the conquered churches will make a forcing, but it'll be too late then for you. You are already in it. Whether you want to be or not, you're already there. Notice when you already got that spirit upon you. Let me tell you what that spirit is. A man does. A spirit is leave a man and walk in a dry place and come back. And before you had known the revelation, you had a spirit a Laodicea upon you. Amen. You were blind from the truth. You were wretched, trying to walk in your own self-righteousness. Amen. In the way you think serving God was. You was miserable. You didn't know it, because you thought maybe your money, your little position in society or something, you know, qualify or something. I didn't even know it. But from the time God through his word washed you from the filth of the world and cast that spirit out, you begin to wake up to recognize God has descended, a prophet come, the seven seals open up, a bride is being gathered together, and the rapture is at hand. And then somewhere along the journey, before that really takes place, you find you begin to drift back. You know what's happening? That spirit walk in dry places and come right back upon you. Your zeal that you had gone, Your passion to know the word gone. Yes. Your cry for reaching out to the spirit gone. Yes. Your fervent desire to please God gone. Yes. Because all kinds of things you're doing wrong and no conviction. Yes. And your conscience being seared with a hot iron. Yes. The irons are upon it, searing it, branding it. Yes. And you're not getting no trouble. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. And when it's fully seared, then there's not even a feeling. Yes. Because you are so heady and high-minded at that time.
Yeah.
That you can't feel safe with the room because what you're doing is right in your own eyes.
Yeah.
See? And this is where that's why it's a believer to be comparing his life with the word.
Amen.
And checking himself and see if he is in the faith.
Yes.
You see? You check yourself and you sleep and say, yes, Lord, I'm there. I know I'm there because you promised you're going to come make your abode with me. And I know you've come and make your abode with me. And I know I opened the door and I know you're supping with me inside.
Yes.
Because we are supped together.
Yes.
Amen. And I know you're teaching me further on these things. And I know my faith in Christian promise. And I look at my life and I know I have no pick up feathers sticking because my trials come. And I have the biggest smile. Then I'll really press the battle.
Yes.
Amen. When they test me, they shake me, and I stand there, and I get flat-footed, and I see my anchor hole.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. Because you look there in this time, and you examine yourself.
Yeah.
You take inventory yourself.
Yeah.
Because God has sent that for you to check yourself and see yourself in.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord, brother. Amen. Hallelujah.
You see?
Amen.
God has sent those things.
Right.
And we went through that too many times. We in that final testing.
Yeah.
That season of that final test before the promise. Because just before the promise is where the final testing is.
Amen.
And by everywhere we show that we're before the promise. And by also the scripture, we prove that we're in that time of that final testing before the promise. Where you have to prove yourself worthy.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, say to prove yourself worthy of a ministry in the third Paul. To stand before God with a confident, Lord, I worthy for that.
Yes.
Not in my own worthiness, but I know I'm justified.
Yes.
I know that this life in me is standing before you with the original spirit that I would have had if I didn't come by sex.
Yes.
I know the old husband is dead and buried.
Yes.
Ever so often when that old spirit wants to come and oppress me, quickly as the Holy Spirit revealed, is that old spirit that come out, put my foot on the neck of that king and squeeze him with such a hatred that we will not even come back near his house. Amen. So no, I don't have no chance of him coming back around this house, getting on this piece of land again. I declare right away my vengeance and my hatred. I don't come around and play around and try to entertain it. And let no right away. Move from here. Quickly. Get off of this property.
Amen.
Because God is trying to see if you get a chance for things to come back if your leg come back. To see if you're put away by constraint or force, or you're indicted by revelation.
Amen.
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 And then you just know, I died to that man.
Amen.
He want to come back and oppress me. He want to come back and get in my affections.
Yeah.
He want to come back and get my reasoning.
Yeah.
He want to come back and get them senses in my memory.
Yeah. Yeah.
But have an atomic bomb.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. Amen. I have a spirit of hatred for that.
Amen.
Because I know it's a pleasure.
Yes.
But I know the motive of the devil who bring it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
See? And that's why believers make a stand.
Yes.
You're not going to deceive yourself and play sin is not a nice thing.
Yeah.
But you know the devil who brings that pleasure,
yeah,
is only hiding behind it,
yeah,
to keep himself invisible.
Yeah.
But his motive is to pollute you and destroy you.
Yeah.
To get an entrance out of the air. So right away, let him know, Mr. Devil, is you behind that?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
You later, you like it and you want it, you like it. Take it. Know you in that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You shake that in the fire.
Yeah.
You say just around the verse of the promise? All these years I fight and struggle here, and I see the promise, I can all touch it with my faith, touch it all around me, and the word opens to the place. You sometimes you let the devil think. You know, I devil crouch on people and hang around them and stare around them so long and just enjoy himself being around them. It's because they give the devil the impression that they really hate him and they come up for no real warfare with him. You know, well, I am my business, you and your business, you know what I mean? But you see, he not even the point to come around you. If you're really in the business for real, he can't come around you. You see, you must not be afraid of that. You can't let the devil paralyze those things within you. And by the time you see it even in a slight way, don't let reasoning tell you, well, that ain't no bad thing. So you gotta behave so. No. You see, because the prophet come into place and the people are playing the music, painting the house. He said, turn it off or get off my land. Amen. 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 Who had more love than him? Don't play a rock and roll thing on it. Here is God's property. God alone must get the glory here. Any song singing, life praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you see, that's the kind of people that please God. The next kind of people compromises, please man. But that kind is please God. And it's God you have to please. Hallelujah. Because you try to please man, you'll never please man. And if you look in the please man, you'll always find you disappointed. Because man is so gluttonous, you can never finish please them. They're so moody and wishy-washy, you can never finish please them. But you obey the word and you please God. With faith, you can please God. In obedience to God's word, you can please God. Amen. With the Holy Spirit, these past weeks here, bringing in the message. And just like that, looking to the unseen. Still looking to the unseen. I'm beginning to preach that right here. And not knowing where it's going to lead up to. But just preaching it. And then right there, the Holy Spirit came and break that. In, I preached until I faith testifying. I said, I get this book years ago and I now come to the Lord. That's the message I heard. And I can come back to a cycle. Yeah. Alright? Yeah. Then I don't like to talk about them things. Alright, but then they show you. Just preaching that there and then taking the scripture, how will we see it then? The spirit of truth will come. The comforter will come. And comfort you. And the comforter have been comforting you. If you know, then your heart was right, your life was right, you're meeting God's requirement. When the word comes and you see that will finish, you're comforted. Amen. You see all the struggle and sacrifice was not in vain. Amen. Because why? The word is sure about finish, and you're inside of there, your heart is saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Right there, then come, taking the scripture there, the time is at hand. Not even knowing, just put inside of there. And I, Jesus, and my angel have testified these things in the churches. Sealing it up these things. Not knowing what it's going to come to. And then the scripture comes again. And then right there, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the Holy Spirit just open those things and just throw those things out there. And show how perfect those things are with the word staying right there. Amen. Because God knows what he's going to do. Amen. You see? And here, just exhort you this morning here to see so you will not miss what is happening. That God over and over will be confirming his word. Amen. And proving to you that we are a place now definitely when the word come and prove it from the life itself and show that bride she must be the perfect match in peace if that life is formed to match every shadow, power, prophecy type of the bride to Amen. Prove that she's that bride when she come out here in the New Testament. And then if she's that, then that message has to come forth. And I've been telling her, I said, the message has been coming forth. And then God gives more of it again. You see, right there. Until we think, what next? And here, out of the word, the Holy Spirit has speak to show this week here that look, it's about finish. And all these things that is coming. And right here, the message is going to come back to you. Because the message, it comes like that spirit there is servicing and God is servicing too.
Amen.
And God has been going unseen all along, and you're going to only see what God is doing by revelation.
That's right.
Because it was his soul that was growing in the image of the Word. It wasn't nothing in the fleshly, in the physical realm. And there are people growing up in the image of the Word. And you can see with your eye growing up in the image of the Word.
True.
But ever so often, God allows something to happen. And when it happens, God displays himself. God displays himself. He shows more of himself. And when he shows more of himself, he identified in the world. Amen. Then it comes to a place where then God pick up the thing on the outside and show you. Look what's happening now behind that, behind all these things that are moving up there. We know what it means, but look where it is. Look how deceitful it is. Look how far it is. And you see those things there, and you realize then that your promise is at hand. The time is at hand. It shall come to pass. And when you see it, you can never stagger through unbelief. You can never waver here, you can never waver there. Because the very God who knows he makes the promise to you, it is him, through his word, telling you, get ready, you're going to receive it. That's why he's doing these things. God doing it to show you. That's why the message have been saying in no uncertain terms. Didn't I promise I was going to return? Didn't I promise there would be a message? Didn't I promise it going to reveal these things? Didn't I promise you not reach the city to make it plain? Didn't I say there was something you could enlighten yourself with it? But then when those things come forth, it will make it plain unto you.
Yeah.
You see? And all along I've been saying, and then you show and prove from the scripture, look what the devil is doing.
Yeah.
It is Lucifer behind all these things and his angels. It's not people. It's the devil. You see? The devil all along. And you see that being the devil doing those things. And then you could see it identifying the word by the scriptures. As the word went and picked up those spirits, reveal where they come from, trace the very devil up in heaven. Where it was Sunday morning, right there worshiping God. Pick up where that thing was in his heart. Until he could just fong in him. Bring him down with his cast out. Take him right down through the scriptures, right down through the age, until presently showing you what he's doing.
Yeah.
And if God will show what the devil is doing, why God can't show what God is doing too?
Yeah.
You see? And it's always so easy to believe the devil doing that, and so hard to believe God doing this.
Yeah.
You see, God don't fight until it's not the devil doing that. But the devil is fighting because it's not God doing that. Amen. And you gotta realize that you'll always see what the devil doing easy when God shows, because God will be fighting you, and the devil can't fight you back. And there is nothing, because when God shows, you make it plain. But from the time God reaches up and says, is God doing that? Then the devil is gonna say, that is not God doing that. How are you so sure is God doing that? Where is God doing that? And then they get confused. Because people are always susceptible to listen more to what the devil is saying than to listen to what God is saying. See, and the devil can come to some unbeliever, somebody, and tell somebody something about somebody, and they want to believe it. Because they might want the person to tell us in sincerity. Alright, and then God comes to a spiritual person, says something, and they question it. You see? And you find people, they all get themselves influenced and tangled up that kind of way. But when you get to realize that these things, whatever you get, it's going to have to be a victory.
Amen.
Whatever you get, you're going to have to fight for it.
Amen.
Whatever you get, you're going to push the devil back to take it.
Amen.
You're going to be trampling on devils all the way to the resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You're not going to put your hands in the pocket and whistle down by the cross of my Savior, die and walk down there. No! You're going to have a sword in your hand. You're going to be chopping left and right until you get there. Amen. especially when they get closer to the promise. Now when they get ready to ride in the city, we'll see all buckets car, and you think, step on my side. Amen. You're the man I want to step on my side. Amen. See, that is what it is. See, so you see, get your spirit right. You see, because getting your spirit right is more than thinking good thoughts. You know, you understand what I mean? Getting your spirit right is getting your spirit right to fight the devil. Get your spirit condition and your determination set right. Your objective set right. Getting your spirit right. See, some people are just going to fight another thing, evil thoughts. And half of them is not them thinking nothing, the devil put it in the mind. Amen. You see, now let me spend the next few minutes right here, quickly in the scripture. Yeah, you read. Now, I want you to realize what we have. All these things, I just want to kind of throw one or two things here for you. But the major thing I want you to get, what has been happening this last week here, you enjoy it and it was a blessing and it opened you on the side of so many things, but it was more than that. Amen. Amen. It was more than that. You see? Because it has actually been the intelligence of God that come amongst us, the mind and the spirit, to pick up those things there and make the rest of the revelation plain to you. Amen. And I think it should be very easy for some of you who have been around for a little while to just pick it up and read it like Matthew, Mark, and John now. Yes. Amen. Because it's becoming plainer and plainer and plainer unto you. Amen. Amen. Alright. Then let's turn to Revelation 7:1. Now Revelation 8:2, what we read, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voice of the trumpet of the three angels which had the song. And that's what we've been speaking on, those seven trumpets there and the things contained inside of them, and one of them was the three woes, and we found that them woes really went forth when the trumpets sounded and they came out of the Euphrates of our supernatural devils. Now I want to get some of the trumpets. Now the trumpets is not like the seals, the trump or the church ages, they happen through a space of 2,000 years, but the trumpet sung at one time. Amen. So you're not thinking like, the first one burned the grass and the second one, no, all these things happen one time. Yes. I'll get to you. Page 14. He's speaking here, recognizing the message. There in the land they were scattered, blinded, and now gathered. And it was all under the sixth seal, their seven trumpets sung to gather them together. That seventh is the great trumpet as we had last Sunday. The six trumpets, six of them, the six trumpets sounded under the sixth seal, just like our sixth seal open, everything at the same time. Only theirs all sounded at once. We have been 2,000 years in the Pentecostal feast. Because we have had seven trumpets too, seven gospel trumpets. But it sung, every messenger sung one. And it took one age, until all 7 ages, and then the last 7 ages all gathered together, all seven sung as seven thunders to reveal the whole mystery. Because each one didn't live long enough. Now when these seven trumpets sung now, it's just singing right there, the persecution being loose on the Jews to get them back in the homeland. Alright? So Revelation 7:1 says, after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have seen the servants of God in their foreheads. Okay. Now listen to what the prophet said. I'm just going to give you it like this, because I was trying it there and I realized that Thursday and Friday I was taking it at too big a volume at one time, so we just couldn't really hit it right. So the Lord just kind of make it a little plainer there how to really approach it. So that's what I just want to do for the next few minutes here. So I'm gonna give you woe by woe by woe, and let you see what the prophets say, and let us fall into place and understand. Because the three woes here in Revelation 8, that is speaking about the disturbance in the political realm, which is the wars driving the Jews back into the homeland. Because we find out the last week right there. Now when we speak about the seven trumpets, we speak about a space of time between the church age and Israel recognizing the atonement. Because the Feast of the Trumpets was between the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of the Atonement. And the Feast of Pentecost was the seven church ages. The Feast of the Atonement was Israel recognizing the atonement.
Amen.
And then the seven church age, we find that was 1906 when the Pentecostal church started on Azusa Street. 1914, the world went to war. So right here, the trumpets and I begin to song. Because the trumpets always follow the Feast of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Alright? So once, and I tell you, once you know, you find the space of time that we're dealing with, then all you have to do is take the history, the authentic history in that period of time. It wouldn't be difficult to find that because it's a space of time right recently here. From 1906 right up to this time, and the prophet was born in 1909, and you have his whole life story, what come through there, how he made the Pentecostals 1933, right on when the angels came in 1946, and how he come right down through. This is what the message is all about. So it's not difficult to find out what the authentic history is. But I want to notice in this generation, prophecy is now becoming history.
Amen.
In other, you see, you can read history about the past ages, but you can't read no history about today.
Amen.
Because the history about today is now being made.
Amen.
You are the ones making the history today.
Amen.
So then it would have to be a revelation breaking forth before your eyes.
Amen.
You'd have to be able to recognize the prophecy in the Bible being fulfilled right before you.
Amen.
You can't read a history to compare with it.
Amen.
You can read a history about World War I and World War II, but you can't read a history about World War III.
Amen.
It didn't make it.
Amen.
But in the prophecy, you can see how it's going to come about.
Amen.
And you can already see it in process, heading up by the people who is going to be brought about by. But you can go and read the decline of World War I and World War II in the volumes there and read all the history about the wars.
Yeah.
You can go back and read Azusa Street and read the history about the Pentecostal revival. But what history can read about the Bride revival?
Amen.
You can read a history on Azusa Street revival, you can read a history on the healing revival of the prophet.
Amen.
But the Bride revival, you can't read no history about that.
Amen.
Because you yourself is that revival making that history now.
Amen.
And since this is the last generation, there is nobody to write it.
Amen.
And nobody to read it.
Amen.
You are winding out this earth history.
Amen.
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 So here, Revelation 7:1. Now here what he says, on the four corners here, this kind of autumn doctrine, page 1994. Holding the four winds. In other words, here went the winds, blowing in the wars and strife that come all over the world. When did that ever happen? Never until the First World War. And here come another one, if you'll watch, and we refer that angel. He's the same angel that come out in Ezekiel 9 when the men came from behind their gates to slaughter the weapons and was going to Jerusalem to slaughter the Jews. Alright? He said, hold it till you go to the city. Put a mark on every forehead that sighs and cries for the abomination of the city. Now get right here. That's the key right here. To find out the first part of it. Revelation 7 is showing a slaughter was taking place. He said, hold the winds until we seal the servants of God in the forehead 144,000. An angel came out and said, stop it. Let the sealing take place first, and then you all will slaughter everything. No, that's Ezekiel 9 right here. And Ezekiel 9 was fulfilled when? When Titus destroyed the Jews. But Titus was what? A Roman power. So in Revelation 7 is the very same angel coming there, which is Jesus Christ, the sealing angel. Only one sealing angel in the whole Bible.
Amen.
And if he's coming to the seal of God, the Holy Spirit, to seal them.
Amen.
Then what's actually happening there, we find that what is taking place is that it's a very Roman spirit that gave power again that bringing the slaughter, because the very same angel coming again. Amen. Because parallel to Ezekiel 9, Ezekiel 9 was fulfilled when he told them, he says, the sealing angel go to the city, seal those who stand, cry for the abomination of the city, and then let the slaughtered angels go forth, startle the ancient men, the young children, the babies, everybody. Alright. Those who are the mark. And we find out that didn't take place until after Jesus came and they reject him. The churches united and rejected him. And then when they rejected him, then what happened there is that the Holy Spirit came down quickly and picked up the elected seed who understand was open. They knew after the one man scripture was a promise of the dynamics. Amen. They left the organization, they came out, they identified with Jesus Christ, the Son of Man revealed, that Elijah introduced. The churches came together and rejected that. The Holy Spirit picked them up, and all the elected ones about 20 years. From AD 33 to AD 53. Then Paul dust his feet off of the Jews, and went to the Gentiles, and the first church age was started AD 53, because that's when he began his missionary journey. Because Jesus said them, don't go to the Gentiles, until they first go to the Jews, the lost house of Israel. That one idea of Pentecost, they had 3,000. They pick up others along the way, 5,000 next time. And they come right there until the Jews rejected the message completely. And then they dust their feet off. And then the vision of Macedonia break. And they went to the Gentiles. Now the same way, they're going to change back. From a time the bride began to preach to the lost here, it's getting ready for the Jews back there, you know. That's the dusting of the feet here. Amen. Because the Jews are blinded that we can receive it. The Gentiles will be blinded that can go back to the Jews. And the Gentiles are probably going to be blind this age. And while Israel is blinded, Jesus' message was calling out Peter and the apostles and a little bunch in there. Is that correct? And while the Pentecostal church in this world is blinded, here's a little bunch being called out. And they know after the one man scripture, there's a promise of the dynamics. And they are looking for it to happen. Amen. Now watch. So Revelation 7:1, right here was World War I, where it started, and something happened in World War I. In World War I, Jerusalem was captured and given back to the Jews. It was under the rule of the Turks. Amen. Let me pick up very quickly. Page 442, 10 virgins. He said, now you see here, it paralleled perfectly with Revelation 7, Ezekiel 9. Now what? From the time of Titus besieging Jerusalem, within the world, there hasn't been a time down through history, or the world went to war, until 1914. Amen? Amen. He said, it was God that stopped it to fulfill his word. There's that angel that stopped it. Those angels went forward with a slaughtering weapon. Why? To destroy the whole world. And another angel said, wait a minute, don't do that. We have got to see the servants of God in our forehead, in their forehead first. Amen. Now 1914, page 445, the world went to war and they have never been at peace since. Constantly swinging, and they are doing the very same thing yet. And what was they doing? Holding, oh God have mercy, holding that great thing that I saw in the vision. The whole thing come to destruction, holding the atomic, holding the wars that they don't destroy themselves, until the things come to destroy it, until Israel return back, get herself together, and then the message will go to Israel. She'll be sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. I'm reading about the condition of Israel right now, the present state, what's happening right there, these past few days, and just the same condition. Among the religious sect is a whole confusion. They have the Orthodox Jews and the unorthodox ones. Yes, and just like the time of Jesus, before he came back there, they were divided, they divided the Sadducees, Pharisees, they had all kinds of interpretations. Then they were talking about this little group that they have, that they arrest a few of them recently because they tried to bomb out the dome, the mosque of Omar, and they found them, and they tried to bomb out. This is a little cult group, a little fanatical cult group, who thinks that this must be destroyed and the temple rebuilt before Messiah comes. Now here these people have the revelation, but you only see them as a little fanatical cult group. They're trying to bomb out the place because they say these people is being influenced by some little revelation they have. Yes. Thinking that this is supposed to be destroyed and the temple rebuilt here. Yes, because they have two temples here. And they want to get rid of them so they can take away their God and rebuild the temple until Messiah comes and they arrest some of them. Yes. That's what they're doing there. Yes. Then they have that among the Jews, what's happening right now among the Jews too. When they came back from all over the world. Now here are Jews that live in Europe all the years before Hitler really tightened up and bring the squeeze on them. And they were wealthy Jews. They were more like Europeans, hybrid, intermarried with Europeans, all kinds of different things. Then they threw them in concentration camps. When some of them escaped, they went back. Then they had some of them in Iran, who live more in poverty and other places. Then they had some of them in Spain. And each one of them, when they came back, was a multitude of different ones. Yeah. And then the European ones come in, they settle down and get the better places, and then they more have this kind of upper class kind of spirit. Then they have the other ones who are the lower class type of spirit. Then these detest these here. You see? And it's a whole kind of confusion. Then this man who is popular and leading in the polls right now, because this month is election, the 20th of July. And Shimon Peres, I look up his name in the Bible. You know, Peres means a breach. Shimon means a great desert. I don't know what we're calling that, but... Somebody just checked me, let me look up this man's name, because... Wait, what this place is coming to, you see? This is a breach, you want to break a promise. I know what he's talking about. He's talking about he wants to give up some of the West Bank. And the West Bank is what the Prime Minister before had fought, and he wouldn't call the West Bank, he called Judea and Samaria according to the scriptures. And he was quickly trying to build as much settlement he could for Jewish people. Then there's a problem, they have 1.4 million Arabs inside of there. And they're wondering what they're going to do now. If they accept them, then it will be a kind of joint Israeli Arab state, and then it wouldn't be really a homeland for Israel, according to the scripture. Then they say, should the country then be ruled by the parliament or by a minority who trying to hold on to some little Bible business? You see?
Yeah.
And the whole people is swinging away to the more conventional type of thing.
Yeah.
And America, who right now, the money's in shambles. Israel money's in shambles, and a lot of foreign aid keeping up their economy. And America now, it has to compromise on both sides because you need all the Arab oil. Yeah. So then here they arming the Arabs and them with weapons, and yet they're claiming to be on Israel's side too.
Yeah.
And then all these Arab nations, 150 million around there, they swore revenge that Israel shouldn't exist there, that they're going to destroy it. See? So that is the situation on the whole thing, getting ready to swing, because this man says he wants unity, he's looking for economic unity, he's looking for peace in the land, and he's looking to help some other thing there, I can't recall right now, that he's looking for, and it's just the very same thing as we were picking up there on Friday night, what the devil come out with? This false message that he's taking over the kingdom by flatteries. Preaching love and peace and all the different things after bringing him, but not knowing when they say peace is sudden destruction. And it's exactly what is happening right now. It's a very chaotic condition. And this month here, it could swing the very whole thing one way. Because remember, the money is already being tied up right now. Eh? Because in the money in America, it was the Jews having the conflict, and then they already begin to have diplomatic relations. And they played it down, and then you find President Reagan, if you've been watching him, his whole speech has been changed, and he no longer called the Soviet Union focus of evil empire upon the evil the world and all these kind of different things, and a godless bunch of people, but he's talking kind of religion with them now.
Amen.
You see, and the leaders could see, you know, and have faith in good understanding, all this type of talk they're talking now, because Rome is trying to woo Russia. It's because the Bible said they will do it. The king of Israel will give the power to the beast for 1 hour. But all these things, look, it's already happening. It's already in an advanced stage.
Yes, brother.
And the bride is still here lingering back. And you know what the prophet said? And the church will linger a while after the doors are closed. She will linger. When it passes the time, she will linger back here.
Yes.
To preach to the lost. Oh my, I wonder what time we in.
Amen.
As Brother Ram says, the brother was saying there is a glorious time for the believer, but a horrible time for the unbeliever.
Amen.
I just struck me this last week here. It's lamp trimming time for you. Everyone should be waking up and trimming the lamp. In their own life. Getting the whole smoke out the lampshade. Amen. Get a lantern and fake oil and stand there at attention, alert, witness to see the bridegroom moving. Take them through. Amen. Close the door. The full villains come trying to speed up afterwards. But wait at national tea, the door is already closed. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, holding back that thing until the war comes. Here sits the Bible saying over, he had four angels, and watch when they got to receive, they got to receive the Holy Ghost just like they did. So what was happening over here? He says that battle, those winds started in, they would have covered the earth, and the battle of Armageddon would have took place right here in the First World War. But God stopped it. So Revelation 7:1 was the World War One right here in 1918 taking place, and then God stopped it mysteriously so that the Jews could be gathered back in Palestine. And right there is when we take the other night how General Allenby was flying over there to bomb it out for Britain, because Britain and America, which is Protestant nations, were the ones that came out victorious in World War One against the Catholic nations, Germany and them who went fought there in that war.
Amen.
So that was a blow for the Vatican.
Amen.
You see, because here it was that the Catholics, what they was using Hitler and them, but Germany, Kaiser Wilhelm and them, to do there in the war, it failed. And in that war, you know, they went for the poison gas. Notice here it says, and they hold the four winds, with four angels holding the four winds, that it should not blow on the earth, on the sea, on the tree. Now if you think of the first four trumpets right there, you will see the very same thing, the earth, the sea, and the tree. All these things, it was just blowing on right there.
Amen.
So that first war right there, that blowing there, and I was reading there that it was 10 million people was killed in World War One, and 20 million was wounded.
Amen.
In World War One. 10 million people died, you think about that. That was 7 times the population of Trinidad.
Amen. Amen.
Was killed in World War One. Just in 4 years time. Wiped out. And 20 million, twice that amount now, was wounded. Amen. To Revelation 9:12. Let's take 8:7-12 first, so we can follow that. Four angels that won't hurt the earth, the sea, and the tree. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail, fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the tree was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burned with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creature which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as though it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the water became Wormwood, and many men died of the water because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now what's something? Them wars was fought in land, was fought in the sky, was fought under the sea, was fought on top of the sea. You know what I'm talking about? Because was submarines, was aeroplanes, was tanks, was poison gas, was guns, was everything in the air, in the sea, in the land, all over. And just to give a little something here, the prophet says here, God power to transform. He's talking, he said, I want to tell you a little story. I heard a chaplain from the First World War. He said the chaplain said he'd been thrown down in the hospital and said so many boys laying in the tent. He had just come from outside. He went out there and some officer took him and said, chaplain, you want to ride you and take a look at the fields out there. They had thrown this mustard and chlorine gas as they did in them days. Now in World War One, they fought very much with poison gas. And he said, I got out there, Brother Bram, and there wasn't bark on the tree. There wasn't a sprig of grass. It was Easter morning. There were some old wreck tanks. The officer got to record them and see if there was anything could be done for them near the great Argonne Forest. He said, when I was standing there by myself, I looked up and I said, oh God, this is the way it's all coming to. It was all burnt up. No life nowhere. Grass burnt up. Tree, gases, trees killed. Everything was killed, twisted, hanging down, where bullets and things was riddled. So you're speaking about like in the Bible? After World War One, all the grass, all the trees, all the things was burnt up, all the sea, all the different ships that were destroyed all day in the war, submarines, on the earth, in the sky, what it was. And they're actually destroying out the earth. Because plus to begin with, they're pulling out all the minerals out of the earth to actually produce all these tanks and planes and submarines. Where are they building all that from? You ever see Muhammad millions of tanks and things they have? What they selling to foreign countries? What they have stuck up there? When they launched D-Day, was over 3 million men going out to war on D-Day. On that one day alone, going out there. That ain't 100 men was fighting in Europe and all over the world, you know. That was leaving England there to go to Normandy. And where they're producing all these things from? From the minerals of the earth. And when they pull it out of the earth, then they're going to fight the war upon the earth. And actually destroying the very earth that they already destroyed by pulling these things out. Listen to this bird pains. I was kind of dropping this here the other night. He said, we are told by God prophets that we are to have a new earth and a new heavens and a new earth. If you want scripture for that, Revelation 21, I saw a new heavens and a new earth. First heaven passed, first earth was passed, it was gone. If we are to have a new earth, the old earth and the new earth can't exist at the same time. Or the new world and the old world can't exist at the same time. There can't be two world orders together at the same time. Now, in the order to get the new earth, the old one has to die. Now the old one has to die, then in giving birth pains for a new one. No. I remember a doctor went to examine a patient that was in labor. One of the things the doctors would do, which I'm talking to the president of two or three, I know of good medical doctors here, Christian doctors, I would ask you this. One of the first things the doctor does after he's been watching the patient is to time the birth pains. He times the pains, how close they are together, how much more terrific each one gets. One is more harder than the other, next one still harder, get together. That's the way he diagnoses the case by the birth pains. Now watch where these woes time go under the seventh trumpet. Now all three woes is in the seventh trumpets. So Revelation 7, the trumpet that started from right here. Now watch something. Under the seventh trumpet, God is announcing the millennium. Eden restored back. And right there is also announcing judgment on them who destroy the earth. Amen. Amen. But he said the kingdom of this world is come, the kingdom of my Lord and his Christ. So during those three wars, it is bringing to pass a promise that is connected to a new earth. Because it is the birth pains that the earth is going through to renew itself. So he said, well, if the world has to give away to birth of the new world, let's examine some of the birth pains we are having on the earth. The first world war showed great pain, birth pain. It showed one of the first birth pains of her going into labor. Because at that time, for she had wrought for the bombs, we had machine gun poison gas. You remember many years, a little boy, 8 years old, I remember them speaking of the mustard and chlorine gas. How it just looked like it get there and burn up the whole earth. It will kill everybody. That's what we pick up right here. He said, stop it, that they won't hurt the earth and the tree and the sea and these things. Back in World War One. And then as we didn't hear what he said, the chaplain was talking about, you went out there after World War One, you couldn't see nothing. By the great Argonne Forest, the whole thing was burned up, no barks on the tree, nothing at all. See? So he says here, and you remember, many of you can't, I was a little boy about 8 years old, and where was the breaking forth of that? That wind's blowing across the earth, and how everybody was scared, the death of the great weapon of poison gas. The earth went through, had its first birth pain. Now, and we find out they had the second war, World War Two, and her birth pain was much greater. Much more terrific all the time. The birth pains of the earth. She almost had to give way during the time of the atomic bomb because it would destroy a whole city. It was much greater than the pains of the First World War of destruction of the earth. Amen. Now she knows that her time of deliverance is at hand. Then Paul says, she's crying now. She's travailing in pain to be delivered. Amen. And as the battle of Armageddon and the army for this nuclear war, she's in the bed and she's rolling. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And her last final pain is coming. Amen. To give birth. Amen. And if she's giving birth, there must be the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. Because under the Old Testament, it gives birth to the second Adam. Every prophet message brought birth pains on the church, the Jewish church, until they give birth to the second Adam. Amen. Then seven messages to the church give birth here to a bride, the second Eve. Amen. And then the birth pain that the world was on the earth is to give birth to a restored Eden.
Amen.
Then, watch and see the promise of the bride is not going to come forth before the final birth pain.
Yes.
Of the earth. Watch and see, we're not finding all these things between World War II and World War III. And as we go up in the rapture, then the earth will be renovated for us to come back in the Eden. Because the seventh trumpet, we go to the marriage supper and the seventh trumpet, he's announcing the millennium on the earth already. Because it's a time of renovation, of destruction. And when he's coming back to set up his kingdom, he's already taken up his redeemed subjects to come back on the earth. But watch and see how the earth is in labor. She's been here for 6,000 years since the Eden was built up, and then Satan and Eden come right down. And then recently, in this generation, she began to go into labor. World War I, she's in labor. Because why? All them through 7 ages, there's a mystery going on in the church. A bride is being formed, another masterpiece is being built for the first to match the first one. And when both of them there, then the earth is also part of the promise. Don't you know the earth fell when Adam fell? And Satan became a squatter and he destroyed, building up his great Eden of civilization, science and education. All the great motor cars, all the aeroplanes, and in the millennium will have none of that. Because man wisdom make them pull out all the minerals out of the earth to show greatness. Look what it can do. Look at the great skyscraper they build. You pass, you ever fly over Manhattan or one of them places and look down? Look at them cities along the world. Look at the train down alone, which is so small. How much traffic jam, how many motor cars and everything have. Where do you want them iron and those come to build that from? From the earth, they pull it out. You see? I want to pull it out. They're weak near the earth become a whole city falling. But I'm not to hold it together. But I man wisdom is man kingdom. And then when they build all this in the arm themselves and they go to war, then they go into war to fight war on a very fragile earth that blow apart by the kind of weapons they have. Not for all these years they've been pulling out the minerals that held it together. So she began to hit labor by 1914. She began to go into labor. And now she's about to give birth. So can't you see every promise is coming to pass?
Yes.
That was when you see the world opening before you see the revelation, what future are you planning here?
Yes.
What life are you trying to live here?
Yes.
It's only the devil trying to inspire worldly wisdom to blind you and discredit the word of God to make you feel you have some hope here and some future here. But God is showing even the very world is falling apart.
Yeah.
Now watch with a deeper insight when you're saying the world is falling apart. Watch something. Because the revelation is beginning out here. He's saying it's a promise, an actual promise in the Bible. There's a new heaven, a first heaven and first earth. Amen. And then he says you can't have two eggs at the same time. One have to go. You can't sit and eat and God eating. Because when God had Eden, Satan had no Eden.
Amen.
And when Satan had Eden, God Eden wasn't there.
Amen.
And now God Eden is coming back and Satan have to go.
Amen.
But how is God doing it? How is he bringing the news? How is it being born? How is it coming? The very war. The very war is right there. It birth pains in the very earth. Now she knows the time of deliverance is at hand. That's the reason she's so nervous, frustrated. It's because there's a hydrogen bomb and missiles in the air that could destroy the whole earth. One nation scared the other one. No matter how little it is, they got these missiles, they claim one of them, could direct them by the stars, drop them anywhere in the world they want to. Russia, I heard on the news the other day, she claims she could destroy this nation and keep the atoms and things breaking up her whole nation. We don't know what to do about it. Everybody's making these claims. And it's so. Science has broken the God's great laboratory until they're going to destroy themselves. Now she must rot, of course, I said, in order to bring forth new life. Because you plant a seed, it has to rot and die to bring forth new life.
Amen.
He says, so this earth, to bring forth a new earth, it has to rot.
Amen. Amen.
So look what she rotted into. Now God revealed to a prophet. He's proven to you there's really a new world system coming.
Yes.
No wonder he said the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of my Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder he showed that. Because it's actually going to birth pains and rotten. And a new one being birthed for the new people, the new generation, the new creation is already coming forth and being identified. Our people of our testimony, we are pilgrim and strangers. Here we have no continuing city. But we seek in our city to make and build his God. It's actually a people like that. She must rot. She's totally rotten. He said, her politics and her system is as rotten as they can be. There isn't a song born in her. Her world system, her politics, her religious politics, whatever it is, Methodist, Democrat, Republic, Baptist. He said, the whole thing is rotten to the core. Got to be something give away. She can't stand it. You put a draw with Washington or Abraham Lincoln in every nation in the United States, it still couldn't come back. It's beyond redemption. There's only one thing that can help her, that's the coming of her Creator. She knows she must give way. She's in pain and distress. Oh, one don't know what to do. One's looking this way, one that way, everything. One's scared of the other one, trying to do something to destroy this. And this is trying to contradict that, destroy the other, until they got it in their hands, a sinful man to destroy the whole world in 5 minutes time.
Amen.
So she knows she can't stand it. The people know she can't stand it. And the world knows that it's going to happen, for God said it was. The whole heavens and earth is going to be on fire. It's going to be a renovation of the whole thing, so a new world can be born. God has prophesied it. She's rotten in all her systems. She's got to do that to rot away. Don't you know wars is God's judgment on the earth? You see? And we are heading right into the next one. But we are going to be taken up to the void setting. We have to. If this is true of the earth being renovated, and the birth pains of the earth, then there must be people taking up.
Yes.
Because this is to be delivered into the glorious liberty of the sons of God.
Yes.
And the whole earth is groaning and travailing in pain. And she's in labor.
Yes.
Amen. To bring forth a new government that will be upon his shoulders.
Yes.
And he shall rule the nation of the rod of iron. And the saints shall judge the earth. Amen. God already have them being trained and filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the whole population as a comeback to rule, stash away back then in the sixth dimension. And you have the last part here, and then you're going to take this part up with them and then bring them all back again and set up this government upon the earth. Amen. And the last word here show that she'll be delivered very soon, because she's heading up straight now. That pain is coming on very quick. She getting contractions right now. Some very stiff contractions. Amen. Amen. I said she's so nervous and red in the face. Flustered, earthquakes everywhere, up and down the coast. Tidal waves in Alaska shaking down the coast and the earthquakes and things. What is all that for? Signs, birth pains of the earth. And the Holy Spirit shaking the church.
Amen.
Amen. Bringing on birth pains. Amen. Like it's born anew. You have seven births.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
A real complete birth. You could stand the image of God again.
Amen.
Amen. Ready to come back. Because when God made that Eden, that perfect earth, had a perfect man to go in that perfect earth, you know.
Amen.
In God's image and God like it. What was the masterpiece? Christ and the bride that stepped in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Adam and Eve back there. So when it was renovated, it had to be an Adam and an Eve step back and get perfect as ever. What do you think it's going to be? We live in a borrowed time. Look how much different angles God has proved to you what the church has to be now. To see the promise is evident in your hand. It must come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, and let's go to the doctor book. If she's in this kind of condition, let's see what happens when the new earth is reborn. Matthew 24, the doctor book, which is the Bible.
Amen.
And let's see what prophet had her symptoms would be. Now, if a doctor knows what the symptoms of a birth of a child, it's about the child to come, the time the child is to come. He gets everything ready because he knows that it's the time. for the child to be born, because all symptoms shows the water broke the blood, it's time the child drop, it's ready for the child to be born. Why didn't God don't go open the seven seals and all these things? So the bride before me, the word image, you have the spiritual vitamins to feed upon, to grow into the word image, to enter into the word body. Amen. Amen. Because it was time that a new earth was going to come too. So he must have a perfect people there. Amen. Amen. To pull them out. All these things were going on. God knew what he was doing. So what had been happening in the world war one back there? All them, the first war going forth, Revelation 7:1, when they went forth, hurt the earth, the sea, all these things. And all the poison gas we're reading about here, and telling how the war was fought back there, over 10 million was killed, 20 million was wounded. And here it is, Revelation 9:12 says, and one war is passed, and behold, there come two wars more hereafter. So under the first war, from 1940 to 1918, the world didn't go to war again until 1939. Now right, we wouldn't go into what happened between there, because we were touching that the other night. But you know what happened between 1918 to 1939? It's where the angel came to the prophet. Appeared the Ohio River. It's where he was converted. Where he was told he's going to have a message. Where the angel came to the cave and all these things. All that was happening right there. You see, you have done showing seven visions of prophecy. What's going to happen after World War II? He saw World War II coming long before they even talk about it. Amen. That was happening between World War I and World War II. God was done dealing with a prophet already who was going to come at the end of the age. Because the generation was running out. Okay, the time we're running out too, so we finish up here quickly. Okay, Revelation 9. Let's go to Revelation 9 here. Now I tell you, this trumpet that's going on here, all them trumpets are sung at one time, eh? It's written here, trumpet by trumpet, showing a third part of the different things have been affected. The first four parts was the creation, then the fifth and sixth and seventh trumpet will be the people. But the people was being killed back there because all the trumpets sung together. Our own song for 2,000 years, they sung at one time. Revelation 8:13 rather, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavenly square, saying, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now the first part was the trees, the sea, the rivers and these things, the creation, the moon and the stars. But this part here is to the inhabitants of the earth. Amen. And then Revelation 9 goes on to speak about how it's going to torment men for 5 months. And then another part here said they were going to slay the third part of the men, Revelation 9:15. Amen? When the angel is loose. Now, let me read what is World War II now, quickly. Now, this is happening now from 1939 on down. So, if you take the whole seven trumpets, it starts from 1914, coming right down to this very time, all the way down through until they're coming to the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation, now we speak out here, 9 here, is where we go into World War II, because this is the part here now where the men is going to be killed mostly now. To do what? Get them back in Palestine, because Jerusalem was captured, but the Jews was not back there yet. The war was finished, but the Jews was not back there. Because the Jews went back as a nation in 1946, but Jerusalem was captured back there. So now the land was captured. God's going to get the people back in there, give them back to the Jews during the war. Yeah. After the war. So he is going to bring the persecution upon the men of the inhabitants of the earth to get them back there. So you say now, notice really close now. Let's hear the trumpets. Under the sixth trumpet, Revelation 9:13, there was 200 million horsemen that had been bound the river Euphrates was turned loose under the sixth trumpet. Notice, I want you to just jot it down. There were natural horses. There were beaded fire, had breastplate, jasper, had tails. The end of the tail looked like serpents and snake head on it. At the end, stinging. It was spiritual horses, spiritual devils, chargers that had been bonging the Euphrates all these years. Now, here's where we're going to see now. Just like Revelation 7, which is parallel to Ezekiel 9, and Ezekiel 9, the Romans that killed the Jews. Then Revelation 7 is parallel to the Romans killing the people again. But here it's going to reveal that the Roman killed the people, but through the dictators. And that we pick up this week. Last week, rather. So the spiritual horses, what was it? The old Roman Empire being revived, the persecution of the Jews. They have been bound for nearly 2,000 years, and River Euphrates can't cross to the promise. I really just was trying to get to the other side. Euphrates, you know, come to Eden. Now, this is what Elijah get confused right here, because he's speaking about Roman devils, and then he's speaking about Euphrates pass to Eden. Now, what he was doing, he was giving you the geography, the geographic location, which is Genesis 2, where it passed to Eden, and then he's giving the spiritual Euphrates in Revelation 9, which is the Roman spirit.
Amen.
But he's speaking the two together.
Amen.
So I said, how, like the Roman spirit was in the Euphrates, which passed nearby Eden. But he's talking about two Euphrates, you see?
Amen.
We got Babylon up there, because Babylon down is Mystery Babylon.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, notice what happens under the sixth trumpet. They were turned loose on the Jews. So the persecution of the Jews, supernatural devils, they then loosed by Stalin, Hitler upon the Jews. You say, well, that isn't Roman.
Yeah.
Now here he's identifying as Roman now. He said, you say that isn't Roman. It's the same spirit that done the same things it did to the Christians in the old pagan Roman days. Because they tortured them.
Yeah.
They tormented them. They burned them in ovens.
Amen.
Yeah.
Millions!
Yeah.
At that time, I think it's 6,000 more they put in an oven every day.
Yeah.
Every day, putting 6,000 humans out, they kill them with gas.
Yeah.
They gas them with poison gas and kill them. And then they put them in the ovens. And all this gas, killing millions of Jews. The person until there's no more gas.
Yeah.
You, if you saw the film over the history there, they show you there what was happening. While they was doing that, it was costing them too much.
Yeah.
To kill the Jews is costing the government too much. On gas. That the scientists had to devise a way to build, to get big containers like behind vans and turn the muffler inwards.
Yeah.
And put people and lock them in. So while they keep driving up steep hills and different kind of a long ride, the carbon monoxide from the muffler is coming back in where it's locked in and killing them all. Then that way was too expensive because it costed too much to keep the trucks and them going. So then they had to get some other type of gas, and then they had to get different things. The different scientists, and they were showing you all these things and what it was costing them. Because remember, it's 6 million. The Jews alone are talking about, you know, and that others are poles and different things that they kill too. Now watch. So notice here that if you come out and all it like smoke, like come up, because it's poison gas. Now you say, how you know that? Now I am only saying that based on, as I tell you, you find the fish of the trumpets, then you find the history, and the history will tell you what went on. Alright? Because the trumpets is the gathering of Israel always. And they're gathered by persecution, and the persecution is how they kill them. And how they kill them was gas. And all the hail to me had to be bullets. Because there's excavate bigger trenches and thousands, they shoot them down with machine guns. Right down there. So John Bagger seen vision, had to call it hail or something like that. But and all these bombs, all kind of different things. You see, all these grenades that they were, where it was you were seeing, he had to call it hail. Because he back there, they didn't know what I've done is. Never invented back there. They didn't know bullets is back there, you see?
Amen.
But then we find that the time this was taking place was during that time, and that's how they killed him. So he said, yeah, that's the Roman Empire bung there by what? The ecclesiastical powers. Which pagan Rome become papal Rome in the traditions of Christian. Now, what we're talking about is how they kill and slay a third part of the men. Alright? They went forth and they killed them. The third part was killed by fire, by smoke, and by brimstone, which issued out of the mouth. And the smoke, the fire, and the brimstone was how they killed them back there. This poison gas would shoot them and all these different things. And how they tormented them, they tortured many of them there, and then after they killed them. So he says here, he says now, It's been bound with the traditional, can't let loose because it's against Christian principles. Still the same pagan spirit. And that spirit caught into the nations of the world, according to the prophet Ezekiel, and they were loose upon the Jew who knew nothing of the spirit. Now, 2,000 years, this spirit, through the Roman people, could not move. But that same spirit, coming up first, down through there in Mussolini in Rome. And you see where it starts first? In Rome itself it starts. With Mussolini. And Mussolini had signed an agreement with the Vatican City that there had been no other religion in Italy there other than the Catholic Church. With finances put by them. And he was the first one. And then when the Catholic Church wanted more territory and these things, he went forth and made war on the Ethiopians. And Brother Bram said that was about a shameful death. He went out and made war against Ethiopia, and there was people who only had spears and different things, and they went with all the modern weapons, the planes and the machine guns, and they just slaughtered them out to expand the borders. He said, and because he did that, he came to a shameful end. Amen. And God had surely prophesied. And when he prophesied, he said the people were against him for saying that about Mussolini, but it came to pass exactly the way it was said. And then he said, you know them five things he showed me in 1933, which already come to pass? Five things perfectly to the dot, two more things would happen before they come in. Happen when? Before they come in. America destroyed before they come in. And we are right here up at the end now, and look like the six things moving right up, he says. Perfectly, even the wars, how did it happen exactly? To the dot, not one time did it miss. He said, listen folks, we ought to take inventory every hour. Amen. We don't know where we're standing, real close. Amen. Under the sixth seal, these 200 million devils started in Rome, Germany, Hitler. Notice over in the Bible where they received power as kings, but wasn't crowned. A dictator is not a crowned king, but just received power as a king. And then he says, 200 million devils turned upon the Jews, whom they burned. How did he know about the third part of the men? Who he saw slaughter? Well, the Jews get slaughtered during the time. Amen. That's why I could say it was the Jews. Because the Romans put order on the Jews, and the feast of the trumpets pertained to the Jews. Amen. And the Jews are the one who was really slaughtered in the war. Amen. And resulted in one thing, bringing her back in the homeland. When you see the fig tree put on his bud, it's even at the doors. Amen. So you see what's happening here in the second wolf? Revelation 7:1, where it started off, and Revelation 8, with the first war in 1914. Revelation 9, here, into the second war, where they are beginning to kill the people, the inhabitants of the earth now. Back there was the poison gas, burn up all the trees and all the different things. But what it was to bring on a persecution, but only one war, you know. Like it is in three phases. Call it World War 1, World War 2, and World War 3. Notice, you find that the natural power under the natural nation Israel was loose there. And what did it? It went and made war. How it murdered and persecuted. Now in the ecclesiastical realm, I hope God opens your eyes to see this now, he says. Because I realize I'm not speaking to this church, this tape goes worldwide. I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings. But to tell the truth, now the ecclesiastical realm has been opened. From the natural revival of the old pagan Rome, went forth on the Jews, which has all been the enemy, the land with teeth and everything, talking about Daniel 7 there, that stomped down and broke out to the people, always been God's enemy, and it was turned loose in the same spirit by the dictators to the world, because the religious system was holding. Now it's been loose. In the cunningness, and this was picking up there the other night, after World War II, the people were shook up, they didn't want no more war. Everybody was scared, everybody wanted peace, everybody wanted love, everybody wanted the unity and harmony, the nation, the churches, everybody. And right there God started the healing revival, and he started the healing revival. Satan saw it was the time to move. And it was under there, Lucifer brought in that planet effect, everything was peace and love, the uniting time and sign, began to get visible, how you unite the churches and the unions, you unite all the different nations, and a message of peace and love, everybody began to go forth. People are going to jump up and call themselves Christians, and the prophet saw something was wrong. Yeah. He saw these people doing the same things which was not supposed to do it. Holy Spirit revealed him that Jannes and Jambres. He said, he began to watch it, and he preached demonology in the spiritual realm. He said, witchcraft has moved in the ranks. Yeah. He said, Jannes and Jambres, magicians, come impersonating these things in the last days to deceive the people. And it was, what was happening there? Satan had moved in and infiltrated the thing and was using it to pull away all the denominational churches into the image of the beast, deceiving the kings of the earth to bring them to Armageddon. But what it was the very same spirit. And right as being the preach about love and peace and all the different things, began to go forth, and John the 23rd went forth right there saying that we are all one, and began to call them separated brethren, and what everybody wanted, because they didn't want no more war. And when they saw Russia after World War II, now look how these things falling, Russia after World War II began to gain more territory than every other nation upon the face of the earth put together. Back there, the prophets were like, they call them Siberians, they didn't know the right hand from the left hand. And after World War II, they rose to the forefront in science and military power, everything, and America began to go back. Because she was turning down her revival that's going forth right there. And Russia began to move to the forefront. And when Russia began to move to the forefront, and communism began to spread, the people began to get scared now. Because here the godless people spreading and taking over. They saw a better reason even to unite closer. And that was that move that started there. All those denominational people get in it, and they all different spirits begin to get right there. He said, how could two work together if they ain't agree? But here it's all coming together. And what it was the very same spirit that they were afraid of. But because there wasn't seen no tanks and bombs, and they were seeing people preaching peace and love and little movements and little things rising up, and everybody talking about this armament and put down your arms and let us have peace and you know, give peace a chance and all these kind of different things. Amen. They thought it was the right thing to do. But it was the same spirit that was bombing up the earth, destroying everything, killing out millions of Jews, had now put on the tanks and the bombs. And that was the same thing happened right here in the Caribbean right there recently. They come with the bombs, they come with the tanks, the block grenades, all kinds of things. Everybody make a whole big fuss. Yeah. Right afterwards, Archbishop Runcie come down with all his religious robes, and everybody received, every government had him. Trained out, prayed, they sort of want to intervene there, and they want to be take their own course, and the Prime Minister won't have no part of the invasion. And then they get together with Guyana and all of them there who talk about this imperialistic business and this capital thing and all this invasion. Why don't the people decide their own destiny and all kind of foolishness to talk here? While the people are being held in captivity under fear by all this was going on. And then every one of them now who thought they were so wise not to involve, they had the same spirit coming in religious robes in private helicopters carrying around to build big economical meetings and having meetings with labor and having big private meetings and things. The very same spirit always deceived them when it come that way. See? And it's exactly what happened here. The same Roman spirit was loose, that was bound and loose, come back and loose in the realm of the church now. It's not out there now, it's in the realm of the church. The church control the politics now. It's in the realm of the church that is going on. That is the kind of spirits, religious dictators behind the pulpits. Ungodly men who will call for the death of the people when that hour comes, they won't stand. If you notice Revelation 9:4, it says, but make sure you don't hurt those men who have the seal of God. Alright? It's the same thing over there. Because what has happened there? While Israel is being pushed back in the homeland, the 11th hour Gentiles were being called off. And sealed away before Israel could be sealed away. Amen. Because the men of the seal of God is done in the church, in the time of the church. Amen. Just like he said, don't hurt the oil and the wine back there. Hurt not the oil and the wine. Amen. But look at Revelation 13:15. It says, and that image is going to cause all those who don't receive the mark to be killed. But back there, God said, don't hurt them who are the seal of God. But they come in now, even they kill those who have the seal of God. Because they reject the mark of the beast. But back there, they don't touch them because of political disturbance. Leave the church after this. Persecute the Jews. Send them back in the homeland. But make sure you touch this little last portion of the bride here, because them seeds you had to be called out to fulfill part of the word in this hour. Because the trumpets here that is sung in here was to drive the Jews back in the homeland, but the seal of God was among the believers, because it happened together, one in the political realm, one in the realm of the church. And God said, don't hurt it, leave them alone. Hurt all those men who don't have the seal. But you see those who have the seal? Now I see a Holy Ghost still believer, no, nothing can happen until the devil God allowed. They know it. Abraham Jesus said, they can't do me one thing. They can't take my life until God ready for me. And you know you're full of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit because you have a fulfilled part of the word in this age. Then nothing can touch you except God alone. Amen. So after World War II, when the Jews were back in the homeland, Israel back in the homeland, the future was put for its blood now, and then the prophet went out. So from 1914 to 1918 was Revelation 7:1 and part into Revelation 8, and then Revelation 9 began to take place right after, which was World War II, 1939 to 1945, and then 1945 they stop at Revelation 9:21. Then we move into the seventh angel message. That was a calling out time now. And from that time, from 1946 to 1984, 38 years, God, up to 1965, grew a prophet, and from 1965 this time, he pulled out the last portion of the Gentiles. Because when the church goes up, but notice before she goes up, after the third angel message, Revelation 49 and 12, Armageddon set in. So while she's here, the message to her is letting her know, behold, the third will come quickly. Because that brings on the renovation of the earth. Amen. That brings on the restored Eden. And here she is, the restored Eve. Alpha becoming Omega, being revealed just before that part comes. Because the last part of the redemption to take place. Under the shout was the Son of Man being revealed, Adam come back. Under the voice, the bride come back, Eve come back. Under the trump, the third woe, it bring back the Eden come back. Watch under the fifth trumpet, Revelation 9 there, what happened? The first woe was already passed. It was already passed way back in 1914-18. Under the sixth trumpet, Revelation 11:15, the second woe is already passed. It already passed way back in 1946. Amen. And the third woe cometh quickly. Amen. You see how accurate the scripture is?
Amen.
Under the seventh trumpet, the third woe cometh quickly. Under the sixth trumpet, the second woe is passed. Amen. And you between the sixth and seventh trumpet. The second will pass, and the third will come in quickly. Amen. And between that time, the bride is being identified. Let us all stand to our feet. So the world is in birth pains, and the bride is in birth pains.
Amen.
You're feeling the birth pains?
Amen.
It becoming more rapid?
Amen.
It will become, when a woman is in birth pains, she has sorrow. For a little moment here, in our final testing, in the harder trials, she has sorrow. Amen. It's not like a laughing time now. It's not like the happy kind of jumped around time now. In a time with sincerity, when she's bringing forth the full manifestation of the Son of God.
Amen.
Where she's right now, the sincerity and the sacredness is coming in. And after life, what is the gotten on the inside is born in? So it's born on the outside, then it's joy.
Amen.
Amen. Because that shows it's over. Everything is over. Her trial is over. The sleeping saint is coming up. It's time to go to the marriage supper. Joy after a man child is born in the world.
Amen.
But in this time here, while she's groaning and travailing to bring forth the manifestation of the sons of God, the full manifestation of Jesus Christ, the earth too is in labor. But you're going to bring forth before the earth brings forth.
Amen.
Her system is rotten and corrupt, And you have rotten and died too.
Amen.
You have rotten and died to all the filth of the flesh.
Amen.
All your own self-will.
Yes.
All your own ideas, all your own desires, all your own ambitions. You're rotten, you died to it.
Amen. True,
and you've been born in your Christ. You look at you, it's Christ walking. Christ speaking. Christ thinking. It's Christ. She is becoming Him. She is Him.
Amen.
And when time she become Him, that's it. For the time He say, this is her, that's it.
Amen.
And maybe right now He's inspecting her all over. Specking her all over. Like Adam when he look at her. He look at her. She stood there from the feet right up to the head. He watched the feet. He watched his own feet. He watched the thighs. He watched himself. He watched her right up. And then he say, she is bone of my bone. She is flesh of my flesh. And when he can look and say, this is faith of my faith. This is virtue of my virtue.
Amen.
This is knowledge of my knowledge.
Amen.
This is temperance of my temperance. I try her. I'll put her under the test. Just like I was under. And she act the same way. That is my temperance.
Amen.
I'll put her under patience. She'll wait there. She didn't run ahead and try to manufacture nothing. Try to create nothing outside of God will. She'll wait there. For revelation and season. All kind of purpose she'll run forth. All kind of oil and blood and fire and whirlwind and thunder and lightning. And she stayed and she didn't move. And the still small voice spoke. And then she moved. That is my patience. Amen. I make people hate and resent her. I make all kind of people come against her for trial. And she had forgiveness. She had no bitterness. Amen. He said, that's my brotherly kindness. That is me standing there. This is her. Amen. And we in that hour. Aren't you glad we in that hour? I want to leave this place.
Amen.
I'm glad it's come to an hour like this.
Amen.
They know Abraham said, Stephen can't do me one thing.
Amen.
They can't take my life until God ready for me.
Amen.
And you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit because you have a fulfilled part of the word in this age.
Amen.
Then nothing can touch you except God alone.
Amen.
Amen. So after World War II, when the Jews were back in the homeland, Israel back in the homeland, the future put for its blood now, and then the prophet went out. So from 1914 to 1918 was Revelation 7:1 and part into Revelation 8, and then Revelation 9 began to take place right after, which was World War II, 1939 to 1945, and then 1945. They stop at Revelation 9:21. Then we move into the seventh angel message. That was a calling out time now. And from that time, from 1940 to 1984, 38 years, God, up to 1965, drew a prophet. And from 1965, this time, He pulled out the last portion of the Gentiles. Because when the church goes up, but know that before she goes up, after the third angel message, Revelation 49:12, Armageddon set in. So while she's here, the message to her is letting her know, behold, the third will come quickly. Because that brings on the renovation of the earth.
Amen.
That brings on the restored Eden. And here she is, the restored Eve. Alpha becoming Omega, being revealed just before that part comes. Because the last part of the redemption to take place.
Amen.
Under the shout was the Son of Man being revealed, Adam come back. Under the voice, the bride come back, Eve come back. Under the trump, the third woe, it bring back the Eden come back.
Amen.
Watch under the fifth trumpet, Revelation 9 there, what happened? The first woe was already passed. It was already passed way back in 1914-18. Under the sixth trumpet, Revelation 11:15, the second woe is already passed. You already passed way back in 1946.
Amen.
And the third woe commit quickly.
Amen.
You see how accurate the scripture is?
Amen.
Under the seventh trumpet, the third woe commit quickly. Under the sixth trumpet, the second woe is passed.
Amen.
And you between the sixth and seventh trumpet. The second woe is passed, and the third woe commit quickly.
And between that time, the bride is being identified. Let us stand off it. So the world is in birth pains, and the bride is in birth pains.
Amen.
You feeling the birth pains?
Amen.
It becoming more rapid?
Amen.
It will become, when a woman is in birth pains, she has sorrow. For a little moment here, in her final testing, in the harder trials, she has sorrow. Amen. It's not like a laughing time now. It's not like a, like the happy, happy kind of jumping a long time now. At a time with sincerity when she's bringing forth the full manifestation of the Son of God.
Amen.
Where she's right now, the sincerity and the sacredness is coming in. And after life, why the gotten on the inside is born, so it's born on the outside, then it's joy.
Amen.
Amen. Because that shows it's over. Everything is over. Our trial is over. The sleeping saints is coming up. It's time to go to the marriage supper. Joy after a man child is born in the world.
Amen.
But in this time here, while she's growing and travailing to bring forth the manifestation of the sons of God, the full manifestation of Jesus Christ, the earth too is in labor. But you're going to bring forth before the earth brings forth.
Amen.
Her system is rotten and crap. And you have rotten and died too.
Amen.
You have rotten and died to all the filth of the flesh.
Amen.
All your own self-will.
Yes.
All your own ideas, all your own desires, all your own ambitions. You're rotten, you died to it.
Amen. True, brother.
And you've been born in your Christ. You look at you, it's Christ walking. Christ speaking. Christ thinking. It's Christ. She is becoming Him. She is Him.
Amen.
And when time she becomes Him, that's it. For example, he said, this is her. That's it. And maybe right now he's inspecting her all over. Inspecting her all over. Like Adam, when he looked at her. He looked at her. She stood there from the feet right up to the head. He watched the feet. He watched his own feet. He watched the thighs. He watched himself. He watched her right up. And then he said, she is bone of my bone. She is flesh of my flesh. When he can look and say, this is faith of my faith. This is virtue of my virtue.
Amen.
This is knowledge of my knowledge.
Amen.
This is temperance of my temperance.
Amen.
I try her. I put her under the test. Just like I was under. And she actually saved me.
Amen.
That is my temperance.
Amen.
I put her under patience. She wait there. She didn't run ahead and try to manufacture nothing. Try to create nothing outside of God's will. She wait there for revelation and season. All kind of position run forth. All kind of oil and blood and fire and whirlwind and thunder and lightning. And she stayed and she didn't move. And the still small voice spoke. And then she moved. That's my patience. Amen. I make people hate and resent her. I make all kind of people come against her. For trial. And she had forgiveness. She had no bitterness. Amen. He said, that's my brotherly kindness. That is me standing there. This is her. Amen. And we in that hour. Aren't you glad we in that hour?
Amen.
I want to leave this place.
Amen.
I'm glad it's come to an hour like this.
Amen.
What's going to happen there? I say, you have no history to reach me here for the battle of Armageddon. But the Bible tells you exactly what's going to happen. The history is being made now. America will be destroyed. The Russians will destroy. The World Council Church will blow it out of existence. The Vatican in 1 hour. The kings of the earth will eat the flesh and burn with fire. California slide beneath the sea.
Amen.
The next Babylon.
Amen.
Her sorceries, Hollywood, deceive the whole nation. All the nations of the world. You will throw that one into the sea.
Amen.
A graveyard for preachers. They go there and die like rats, the prophet says.
Amen.
The islands fled.
Yes.
Trinidad, some of these, everything will be shaken down.
Amen.
But before that time,
He himself will be among us, making us ready to take us out, opening our eyes, showing us what is happening, making it so plain, making it so clear. And when you see what is happening and the whole plan of redemption, you look up and you lift up your head and you scream out, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." Amen. Here you have no continuing city. That is the desire in your heart this morning. Amen. You seek one to come. Amen. You are a pilgrim and you are a stranger. You are no Trinidadian. You're from the New Jerusalem. You're born from above. Your citizenship is from above. The family in heaven and earth is named after the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we stand this morning. It's lamp trimming time. Don't let the devil deceive you now. Don't let him hinder you now. With all the determination in your heart, press through. It's sorrow, but then, when it's born, it's joy. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you, Father. Oh God, we look around in the natural realm. As all men can see, even the natural people of the world, they are crying out for disarmament. They're crying out for peace. They see the whole world falling apart. They know there is no more hope. Should there be a nuclear war? They see politics is rocking to the core. The politicians are pulling the world into that place. The religious world is also rocking to the core. It's fallen angels in those systems, as your word has revealed and shown unto us, influencing the whole thing. The people in the world caught up in pleasure and gaiety and revelry and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. The whole world of corruption. But the angel of the Lord is in the camp. The Lord himself has descended from heaven and has come down among his beloved, revealing unto us and showing us the things in the spiritual realms, changing our scene. And let us see the things that is happening. And Lord, as we look and we see the time clock is striking the hour. Oh God, our hearts begin to beat high with joy for the one that we love and the one that we serve. And the one that we live for daily, and the one that we wish we had 1,000 lives to give unto him, we will soon see him face to face. Father, when we think of that, it comforts us in the inside. For our longing is to see Jesus. Sometimes we would think that we'd like to go beyond the curtain of time. The song says, "Lord, let me look past the curtain of time. It will brighten my path, it will vanish my fear." But Father, we realize we go beyond the curtain of time. It will just be an ease and a comfort for a little while, but we still won't see you, Lord, because you are high up. But oh God, where we are standing in this hour, we know soon we shall see you. And oh God, now we see the responsibility upon us. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Father, we take inventory of our lives this morning. And we search ourselves, we stand in the presence, realizing the hour and the time we are living in. Lord, we want to know in our hearts we are totally surrendered unto you. We want to know in our hearts our affection is set on things above.
We want to see, Lord, our treasure is in a place where mortar or rust can't corrupt and where thieves can't break through and steal. Oh God, may every heart be filled with love for you. And Lord, we cause them to look up in this hour. Look away from this world and look to the unseen. Look and see that their redemption draweth nigh. God, this past week, you've been so gracious unto us to give us an insight behind the scenes. The word of God coming down and opening up unto us and helping us, Lord, that we realize that there's no future for us in this world. We have been called out by a message. Sometimes we are tempted to look back. But oh God, you show us there is nothing to look back for. There is nothing to look back at. But Lord, there is everything to look forward to and live for. And oh God, in our hearts this morning, Father, Lord, we want to channel everything towards that. To live for what we see by faith. For we look in natural eyes and what we see might appear to be glamorous and prosperous, but it's temporal and it's passing away, and the judgment of God is coming upon it. That shall be ashes very soon. And what we see by faith is eternal and is coming from negative to positive and shall remain here forever. Hallelujah. So many ways, so many angles, so many places in your word you have shown us. We are at the end. The church has made herself ready. Wrapped in faith, the hunger of our soul today. Lord, that ministry that you start, the wrapped in faith in the good of the church. How much more we see, oh God, we should cry for it now, Father. Oh God, we should, Lord, drop away this flesh and press into the Spirit. The Lord is in breaking forth in our midst. For the hour is here for it to be made manifest. The sons of God rising on the scene in the last days, being made manifest as the earth goes through its final birth pains to bring forth that new Eden. God, we see everything run out under the seventh seal. It's no longer a secret, because time is no more. It shall be delayed no longer. And the elect of God is crossing over that continental divide. They look and see no more mountains, only desert. And right in that time, the door of the ark fixing to swing shut. Oh God, help us. Lord Jesus, as sincere as we have ever been in our lives, as honest and true as we have ever been in our lives, oh God, may we stand so before thee. And when you look, you could say, this is her. This is her. Like when Eve was presented unto Adam, and he looked and saw his own self manifested before him in a feminine form, being revealed in another body. So Father, we stand here realizing you have shown us we are that perfect match in peace. We are that feminine spirit now being revealed in that mystical body, matching every promise of the bride. All these things revealing that the time is here, the time is at hand. Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand today, and we wait before thee, Father, thy perfect will for us might be done this hour. Lord, take us to our homes. As we go thinking on these things, let these things be the central theme of our lives. May Christ be the principal theme of our lives, the principal theme of our conversation, our living. Oh God, we'll be real prisoners of the word.
And may the revelation become plain and plain unto us. The Lord, we can be manifest Jesus Christ to our brothers and our sisters. And the whole church of the living God, when we look over our shoulder, when we look next to us, we'll be seeing a manifestation of Jesus Christ. We'll be seeing the love of God tabernacled in human flesh. Oh God, we see attributes of God being displayed. Hallelujah. What a beautiful sight that would be, Father. Let us strive towards that, Lord. To know we have the opportunity to embrace such a thing in the midst of a world that is falling apart. Something eternal could stretch down towards us. We can take a hold of it and be lifted up above this realm and live in a high dimension, in a place, oh God, where we can walk before you and be perfect, where our lives could show forth Christ in this dark generation, in this evil generation, a sign that the judgment of God is coming upon the face of the earth. Be with us, Father. Go with us as we go to our homes. May you watch over us. Lord, keep us in that presence. Bless our fellowship one towards the other. May we provoke one another unto love and good works. May there be such a fervent love among us, Father, in this hour. May we stand, O God, in our position, our posted duty, with the sincerity of our hearts to fulfill the responsibility that will be entrusted upon us as members of the bride of Jesus Christ, knowing it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And part of your word have been left for us to fulfill this hour. May that be our meat, O God, to do the will of him that sent us and to finish this work. Grant it, Father. We ask these things this morning in the precious, worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died that we might become him, knowing that he became sin, that we might become him. Let love ever influence us. Let that love ever motivate us, Lord, that we'll think of him first and not think of ourselves first. We'll esteem each other better than our own selves. Oh God, fulfilling the law of Christ, bearing one another's burdens. Grant it, Lord. May be our brother's keeper. May you walk in truth. And may we do the truth. May our light so shine that other men could see our good works. Glorify thee who is in heaven. Shall the salt of Lord's savor is good for nothing. Be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. May we never lose that anointing, Father. But may our lives be so salty, be an influence. Be ready to give every man a reason to hope that is inside of us in this hour we are living in, knowing we are ambassadors for you. Oh God, this kingdom that is coming upon the face of the earth, that has been ushered in now, we are already the ambassadors, standing here giving witness. So may you be with us, and may you bless us in every one of us. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. As we dismiss, let's just sing. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls to me, I will hear. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Amen. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls, we are dismissed. I will hear. Amen. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. somewhere. Do you hear your name calling this morning? I'll be somewhere listening. He's talking to you. If my heart is right, I will hear. Thank you.
is coming.